DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic. Flopsy.
I think that what we need to take out of that is that you're a weird dude.
Your host, Robert Digital.
I think this is a worse idea than Evolve 2.
And
Smoochie.
How you doing?
I'm doing very sober.
Okay, cool.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Body.
I'm Agamemnon the Conqueror.
This is Chia. Nah.
And this is Chad.
And just Chad.
You don't need any more with me.
Oh, wow. I feel like it's been forever since we've all been here.
I know.
We're recording late this week. We recorded early last week.
She wasn't here last week.
Yeah. It's been...
No, I was here.
It's been a while.
You know,
at work.
I wasn't here when it was convenient to y'all.
True.
Yeah. Yep, that happened.
Yeah. All right.
I'm still just only minutely salty because that was a good episode. I did listen in on
you were like Lay's. You're lightly salted.
All right. Well, before we get into it, we got some new Patreons we want to give a shout out to.
Thank you, Nate. And thank you, Leap Mill, for upping yours from 5 to 10. She saw those sweet, sweet deals and she's like, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Speaking of which, we switched up the Patreon layout. Roughly, if you want to be green now, that's the $5 level because it's so super sweet to be green on Discord. $10 will give you every t-shirt we ever make. Oh, $5 also gets you one t-shirt of your choice, except for the ones that are out of print.
Which means we need a new one, by the way, don't we?
Yeah,
it's about time.
It's getting close.
Yeah. All right, so wait. So $1 gets you a shout out on the podcast.
Yep.
We'll mangle your name.
$1 to $4. Yep.
Okay. $5 gets you a t-shirt, and also you get a green name in Discord.
Yep.
And
$10 is every t-shirt we ever make.
All right.
Yep.
And you get a coupon for every time we come up with a new shirt. So which that means is like you could even get a different color of the old one or whatever you want. Basically, you get a new code every time we make a new t-shirt.
Awesome.
And then
did
now
you know
we have
I'm
a new
actually
one.
A $10 Patreon subscriber. Do you remember
I know. Why
that?
Are you doing that?
When we only had 12 listeners, I was one of the few Patreon
But that was last week.
And I have been, since I joined on, I think I subscribed to
you can
Patreon
that.
For over a year and a half now.
Stop that.
Your contribution.
Stop that.
Buy me a new mic stand.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Literally give her a mic
with
stand.
With my own money, please. Yeah. I need this.
Basically, she's just been, it's been her own little layaway plan for her new mic stand.
Yeah, seriously. You know what it is.
But we've been getting that interest the whole time.
Yeah, we have.
And there's a new Patreon thing that's at...
it's level?
It's what? New level, new tier. Yes. And it's, what is it? It's called
$27.
It's called,
because 30 seemed too much.
30 seemed too much tier. And for $27, you get game time guaranteed with us every month, a few hours of that. You get
every shirt we make.
Every shirt, and you know, all
wait,
the other
wait,
tier
wait.
Stuff.
With us, like four of us as a collective, or are we like
separate?
But he did mention of your choice, so it might be you
or
if somebody
not me
goes
at all.
If somebody goes with the $27.
You wouldn't want to play with me, anyways. I just yell at you the entire time we were gaming.
And runs off, it leaves you alone, and then yells.
Podcaster, your choice of game.
Podcaster.
Okay.
And game, maybe.
Sure.
We haven't worked it out. There isn't a $30, what sounded like too much, tier person yet.
Yeah.
So, and then you can see if Bobby's a real person, see if he's a robot. Do the.
Yeah, I would say, I would, if I had that privilege to like choose a person in a game, it'd probably be maybe Hots with Bobby.
That's another thing. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, to like see if he's as good as like.
For $27 a month, you can be tier,
boosted.
What's
it
called?
This
platinum tier one diamond.
Diamond
slopes.
Oh, man. I have been having the most awkward time with my placement games in Heroes of the Storm on my main account, which I'm very sensitive about. Like, that's got to have the highest ranking. First of all, on my third account, like, which I don't give a shit about, I got Diamond 3 on that, which is the highest you can place. On my main account, I got Platinum 2. I was so embarrassed. Like, I didn't want, like, anybody to look at
my Platinum's profile. Below Diamond, right?
Platinum's right below Diamond. Okay. Yeah. So I grinded Hero League, like, the last 5 days, and I got it to Diamond 5 so far, and hopefully still climbing. But, yeah, that was just awful.
Well, Bill the Heel mentions you. He watched you, and you lose a lot.
Ooh. I do. I lose a lot depending on who I'm playing with. But I've been winning a lot lately, and it's because I'm doing Hero League, and you actually have real games in Hero League. Like, you have a draft, people are given 100%, you know, and it's decent games. I've been playing a lot of Quick Match, which is basically like you load up Quick Match, you load up a game, you see what character and map you're on, or what character everyone got, and what map you're doing, and you can tell right then and there who's going to win the game.
Also,
you know, assuming
don't forget,
everyone plays right.
I feel like whenever you're streaming and playing video games, your actual ability to play games, it's dampened.
Diminished, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're entertaining at the same time.
Yeah, and when I play ranked, I don't stream.
You're sitting there in your chair being all self-conscious with the camera and mm-hmm. the lighting on your face. It just hurts how you game.
Bobby, you do have in the show notes about your tournament or whatever. Is that on the list? I'll mention that.
Okay. I mean, I'll mention it real quick.
Because I'm excited.
Nothing too much. I forgot to like blast it out. It was being
already.
Streamed. Yeah, we got like third place. Not very good. But it's, you know, me and a couple of guys.
Third out of what?
I don't know. Well, it's like, it's hard to say out of, you know, it's like the third, fourth place slot, because basically those are equal.
So you were one win away from going to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were
pretty impressive.
Close.
And
yeah,
did you play? Because you had talked about being an alternate or whatever.
Yeah, I did play. And I really wasn't happy with my performance in there. Like, we didn't play well. It was people, like, some of the people I'd never met before, so it was really awkward.
Oh, there was no team synergy then? It was just like...
Yeah, yeah. So it was... But we were just doing it for fun. It was a good time. No, it wasn't that bad. I mean, there was maybe about 100 people watching. It wasn't, like, a huge thing. But I do want to talk to the guy who set that up. It was Gamers of the Storm, and they could definitely use a little funding for the prize pool, because it wasn't that big. And they got a pretty good viewership. And they had some of the people in the community casting it, some like well-known people. So, I mean, it was a good deal, and they're going to do another one in a couple months. And I think we should really talk to them about sponsorship. I think that'd be a good idea.
Nice.
We are down.
So if you want to get really good at HOTS, you could just pay us $27 a month, and you'll be, like we said that.
Yeah, there you go.
Binding of Isaac over here. CSGO, maybe, would be
Overwatch?
No, neither. I mean,
what could you teach somebody the most? Probably
Counter-Strike.
Right? Counter-Strike.
Mm-hmm. And Chad, some
everything
sort of
Sudoku, else. Sudoku, literally any
like
other
that.
Game on the planet.
Yeah.
Crosswords,
so
maybe.
Oh, and you're going to get our new poster signed by us personally, all four of us.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then there's the last one.
Bobby, can you put up on the live podcast thread on what the
new
poster looks like?
All right.
It's called the...
It's not final, by the way. I haven't even actually shared it with you guys for the most part. So they might have a change or two, but we're getting up. By the way, if you're listening for the first time or haven't talked to us before, we live stream on Discord, and you can respond on the Discord chat. Just check it out at dlgaming.net and join our Discord, and you can listen to us. We generally do Sunday nights, but tonight we're doing Monday. So
yeah, like Sunday afternoons is typically when we record.
And the last one is the titty tier. You become a titty tier, like a mouseketeer. But
is that what that meant?
Yeah, that's what that means.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, you get a pink name in Discord, and you get to fly, or if you fly yourself out here,
and then you get to
hang out with the crew. We've had a couple of people do this already, and we spent more money than they gave us. So that's kind of like one of the things. Whatever. It's we get to have fun.
Exactly.
A lot of fun to be had in San Diego, especially coming up soon with Comic-Con. Now, are you guys doing anything for Comic-Con? If there's any listeners in town, by all means, hit us up. I'm going to be doing Doug Love's movies, and I was going to go see John Williams and Symphony, but that sold out, so I'm going to do the Rickmobile from Rick and Morty. They're doing something over on the Petco Park. I'm going to go
see. That thing's been driving around for months, right?
Bobby, mm-hmm. Because to be honest, I was talking about this last time Comic-Con came around, and I think I just worked through the entire weekend.
Yeah.
But I should have more free time now. what are the best ways to do things for free around Comic-Con again?
For free? I don't know. That's tough.
Or maybe you gotta without having up, to get tickets.
This is what you want to do. Obviously. You want to go online and look up, you know,
we're going to talk games, I swear.
Yeah, the video games are coming up, we swear. Yeah. But off-site events for Comic-Con 2017. And what's going on is, like, a lot of these bars around here, like, I know Flux is doing one. They're having these,
everybody
like,
does,
events,
yeah.
You know, that where...
cosplays and shit.
Yeah, sometimes there's, like, a celebrity that's going to be there, and you can party with them. At the waterfront, the I can't remember who it was, but someone's going to be there, and I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. I mean,
okay.
But yeah, the people come there, they do these things like Wrestle the Kraken or some weird shit going on
cool.
that night. But all that's going on. But there are a few events that happen too, and I think that's all I'm doing. The Rick and Morty thing, yeah. And the
I would love to do the Rick and Morty thing.
The podcast.
Maybe we could do something like that.
Yeah. I'll be moving out of my apartment to Airbnb and make thousands
of
dollars.
Is this the last weekend of July?
No. We just started.
Comic-Con. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. It's like the 19th to the 22nd, yeah. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's coming up soon.
Yeah. But, all right. So, are we ready to talk about video games?
I think so.
Well, just one last thing. We did, Emilio did add a thread to our Discord channel called We All Get Hard. And it's basically to talk hardware stuff and also post your own
pictures of your rigs.
Rigs. Share them. We're going to post them up on our Instagram and stuff if you post up. Oops. So we encourage you to go ahead and post that up.
And it doesn't matter how shitty it is.
Critique each other's ones.
Yeah.
Because that's the funnest, the most fun part.
There's some pretty bad ones up there already.
So, yeah.
I think Fig Sack actually showed his sack, but I can't confirm nor deny.
Something was going on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when I was watching Games Done Quick this week, I missed so much of it because I was out of town. But when I got back, I watched a lot of it. And they were advertising this game that I felt like I had heard of but was kind of unaware of it. We got Chi posting hers in there right now.
Well, she's in the live podcast, but close enough.
Wrong spot. But Toe Jam and Earl is coming back. Did you guys play that on Sega Genesis?
No.
You guys are not looking thrilled.
I know of the game, but I don't know anything about it.
It was a really fun game to play, but it also just had this style that just was so 90s. It was so of its time.
Yeah.
And so they're coming out with a new game called Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove. They were advertising it during Games Done Quick, and it looks just like the old one, but obviously with better graphics, more playable characters, just like all this, you know, newer stuff implemented.
What style of game is it?
It's like a 3D adventure game. You're walking around on these islands in space,
but it's
collecting
3D.
Islands. Well, not like 3D. It's a...
if it's a platform game, Toe Jam and Earl, correct?
It's not really a platform game. It's... what do you call that when you are that point of view, kind of like
isometric
Diablo? Yeah, it's like isometric.
Oh,
like
really?
That. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I might be confusing Toe Jam and Earl with
Earthworm Jim. Yeah.
Oh.
Fastidious mentioned that too. Yeah. Okay. So, but this is. Something that you're excited about?
Very excited. The only thing that could be better than this is be like a new Zombie Ate My Neighbors. But this is... I played a lot of this game back in the day. And it just... It's been produced by Adult Swim or published by Adult Swim, but I don't know who the developer is. But it looks like it's going to be good. It's supposed to come out in 2017. They don't have an exact date yet. They do have it on Steam, so it's on my wish list, but it doesn't have an exact date that it's coming out.
How much do you think they bought the rights for the name for?
Like
They found them. $25 or something.
Somebody opened an old desk, and they're like, hey, look, it's the rights to Toe Jam and Earl.
Like, who would have thought Toe Jam and Earl? We better hold on to these rights. These are going to be worth millions coming up in 2017.
Yeah.
Oh, man. People are going to love this game. Just wait. All right. But that's all I got. That's all. The only thing that's on the radar for me. Is there anything that you guys have noticed recently?
Nope. We got nothing.
We did
on
a lot
radar,
of stuff.
On the radar, there was an official release date, September 14th. What game? Pop quiz.
Oh, I know
it's
this.
Officially coming out September 14th. It's a big title.
Oh, was it Divinity?
Divinity 2! Right? Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that
so
last week.
Excited.
Yeah, that sounds
familiar. Oh, last stream. Okay, that's right. Yeah. I heard it from you guys.
Is the price...
That's why you don't leave me out of stream.
Yeah.
Maybe I heard it from you guys. Maybe
I think
didn't.
So.
We don't know.
Now, is the price going to go up on
your voice?
I am losing my voice. I've been talking a lot. So.
Okay, one of the downsides of bartending.
But it's sitting right now in a warehouse right now. But doesn't even know.
I feel like it was cheaper not too long ago. Like I should have got in on the ground floor and just not played it.
$45 though for
it's worth it.
That's what, 80 hours of gameplay at least.
Yeah. Well, how much was the original Divinity?
60, I think. Wasn't it 60?
It took me 72 hours to beat it.
Okay.
Yeah,
that sounds about right. They usually say around 80. But I think I bought that game for $25 and that was on sale.
Oh, it was cheaper if you Kickstarted it, Bill says.
Oh, yeah, for Original Sin, too.
Okay.
Okay, so Amazon Prime Day is going to be coming out.
Well, I don't know. Do we have any advice or anything to it?
Is this the first one?
No. This happens yearly.
My experience with Amazon Prime Day is like nothing I want to buy on my wish list is on sale. So I don't know if that's going to change.
It's more impulse stuff. It's more like, wow, 60% off for this. I didn't even think about it, but now that it's really cheap, maybe I'll buy it.
Yeah. And to try to hook you guys up and hook each other up, I made a new another text channel in Discord.
Bobby's called silently seething at you making all these channels, by the way.
Prime Deals Day. It's going to only be up there for like 3 days.
Yeah.
Or the day of, probably. Which is
so it's tomorrow. It's the 11th.
Yeah.
When this or comes today. Out. Yeah. If you're listening to us, it's today.
Yeah. So if you see something that's PC-centric or relevant to us, put it up there. Keep your lubes and dildos to yourself. I mean, put those in the adults channel, please. I like to see those.
You can just send them directly to me. I'm always looking for a deal.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess
might be getting a new mouse. I'm going to see if the SteelSeries Sensei Raw is going on sale. It's only like $40, though, so I don't think it's going to get any cheaper.
What a fitting name, right?
Did somebody in Discord mention that
the Spectrum?
Yeah, the Spectrum
is on half
502.
Yeah, it's $40 right now, and that's the one. That's the one I use, I believe. Right?
Oh yeah.
And I love that mouse. That mouse is amazing.
We'll talk later, Bobby. I think you should hold off.
Okay.
But anyway, let's move on.
That would be a foreshadowing.
All right. Let's talk some games. So,
we are dense this week.
Yeah. I'm on vacation. I've been playing a lot of games, and I'm finally on vacation. Like, I'm home. I'm not doing anything. I'm, staying up late. I'm sleeping in. I'm just
gamer
lounging around and playing video games. And I wish my whole life could be like
this. The benefits of being a teacher, right?
It could be.
Okay, I mean, people say that, but my life sucks 10 months out of the year, and then 2 months I'm like, things are normal, and then it goes back to being real shitty. But yeah,
quit your job, Bobby. It's the best thing I ever did.
That's what I did.
I went over my finances. I doubled my salary.
I just don't know where I would get money if I quit my job.
You're 10 times as talented as I am.
Yeah, but I'm pretty lazy too. So that's
you think that.
I know I'm lazy. I don't get up to much when I'm on vacation, except video games. I've been playing a lot of them. Matter of fact, I beat 2 video games this week, and that hasn't happened in forever.
That's amazing.
Kind of a little asterisk here. These are games that I started before, but one game I want to start off with, a game that I gave a shout-out to in January when we were talking about our games of the year. I was like, I can't say this is my game of the year because it's not that big of a game.
I
want to give it a mention because I think it's so good. I really like this game. It's called Headlander. Do you guys remember this one?
Oh, yeah. That's from Double Fine, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you fly around and you take your head becomes different bodies.
Yeah, you're a head and you land on different bodies and those bodies.
Oh, you're going to love that new Mario game.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing about it, though. I mean, first of all, I was like 75% of the way through the game, and I was like, I really like that game. I should really finish it, and I did. I just plowed through it in like 2 more hours one night. But the reason I like this game so much is not just the gameplay. I mean, the gameplay, it's done very well, but it's not like super new. You're basically this head flying around, and you can latch on to different NPCs, and you can use them to get to different areas, and they also give you different abilities. So it's kind of like a Metroidvania, but there's also a puzzle part of it. But the style of this game is just so goddamn cool. It's so like late 70s, early 80s, sci-fi, like Logan's Run, Flash Gordon.
Barbarella. It's right? Didn't you say it kind of had a sexy vibe? Sometimes?
Oh yeah, the during the beginning of the game, you go into a room called the Fondalarium where everything's all like plush and shag carpet, and robots are just rubbing up against everything. And the music, the soundtrack's excellent too. And I don't know, I love everything about this game, just when it comes to style. So I just got through it. I finished it. The best part about this game, it comes maybe about 65% of the way through the game, is a boss fight where you play a chess piece. You have to latch onto these different chess pieces. And you have to do this. It's kind of like chess, and you're fighting this.
That reminds me of that raid boss in, was it Karazhan?
Yep. When they redid Karazhan, they also redid that.
That fight's gone?
No, they just redid it. It's a different style a little bit.
Yeah. Bill is mentioning Prey. Yeah, I haven't forgot about that. That's on my list to finish, too, because I'm about 80%.
Did you see the speed run on Prey? Did I mention this last week?
No, I was out of town when they did that, and I was very upset about that.
But all of it's on YouTube, right?
No. Right? No. Emilio, guess the speed run for Prey.
Yeah, I remember. It was like 15 minutes or something, right?
Guess the speed run for Prey.
The glitch? They must have glitched it.
Guess the speed run.
Well, he said 15 minutes. All right, I'll go 15:01.
7 minutes.
You're kidding me.
They must have glitched.
I don't know. I didn't watch the video, but you should tell me.
You know what? Okay, this is how I see that gameplay happening in 7 minutes. They get through the main cutscene of the game, which is obviously like a 2-3 minute block.
Well, play, I think it's not counting.
They play for 4 minutes. They realize how shitty of a game it is, and then they just turn it off.
Where game's is this done coming quick. From?
I don't know. I mean,
it's a really good game.
It is. Okay. I don't think they counted the cutscenes or the load screens.
Well, I think the cutscenes are skippable.
No, it's not done with games quick.
Yeah.
I'm done with games. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Wait, we're talking about the first Prey. Right?
No. The new one.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
No worries.
It's like, okay.
Well, did you guys, I mean, let's talk about Games Done Quick. First of all, it raised $1.7 million for Doctors Without Borders.
Is it fun to watch?
I think that's like a record. Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to know.
I watched it like all the time. Like, I was so pissed that I was out of town. I took a trip to Seattle. I was up there for a couple of days. It was
all grumpy.
It was like nonstop doing shit. Like, me and my girlfriend just going to all the places, seeing all the things. And I was up there for about 2 days. It was great. Stopped by this Museum of Pop Culture where they had an indie game section. I'll talk about that later. But I missed a lot of Games Done Quick. I come back, and yeah, it was always in my second monitor. Whatever I'm doing, I had Games Done Quick up, and then I had, like, on my calendar, like, oh, they're doing what runs was I really excited about? The Star Wars one I was able to catch, Jedi Outcast.
That was Bobby's first at everyone I think I've ever seen. He's like, hey, everybody, doing Star Wars.
To be honest, I would not want to watch any Games Done Quick of games I haven't beaten yet if I knew I want to play them, because I wouldn't want anything spoiled to me.
Yeah, most of these are old games.
Yeah, usually.
They do a lot of old games. But Bill mentions they did do Doom, and I missed that one as well. I was really excited about that. But you don't really, it doesn't spoil much because they're skipping through so much.
Almost all of it.
That's true.
Like, so much of the game.
And all the enemies that they can bypass, are bypassed.
Oh, the Dark Souls 3 one I watched, that was really good.
How long was that? Do you know at the time?
Oh, that one was like, an hour and a half. I can't remember.
Oof.
That would have definitely spoiled it for me.
There's some games where you can speed run them, but still they take a very long time. Like the Final Fantasy VII took 8 hours.
Yes.
And it started at like midnight. And I watched like 3 hours.
By the way, the only game I tuned in on was Final Fantasy VII. And the only moments that I actually saw was where Ares died. So I was like, okay.
Spoilers, hello.
Shut up.
I haven't seen
I'm 14.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah,
I'm joking.
14-year-old spoiler. But it's so funny because, like, I out of all the moments I could have tuned in to watch Game Done Quick.
The saddest moment in
Game Done. Most saddest, like, tear-jerking moment. It was very, all the feels.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, can you grab links for us, please, since you're being active? Thank you.
Yeah, just go ahead and do that.
People,
yeah,
is voluntold. But one of my favorite parts of Games Done Quick that they do is when they have usually four people do Super Metroid at the same time, and it's a race.
Oh,
they all
that's
go
cool.
through Super Metroid, and that's a
see the race one I would like because
yeah, the race one's fun. Because
then you're not looking for perfection. You're just looking to beat the other three people.
Yeah, and that one usually takes about 40 minutes. I think the world record is like in the low 40s. And, you know, usually people beat it around 45 minutes. But that's a great one to watch. The Super Metroid was a game I played a lot of, and it's just a fun game to watch.
You know what they should bring? Well, is it all PC games?
No. These are all like lots of NES games. Because,
The guy, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a guy who beat Metroid 1, 2, and 3 at the same time with one controller.
Oh,
so
yeah,
he's on three different screens. He's playing Metroid 1, 2, and 3, and he beats them all simultaneously.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. One of my
favorite, so they should bring him in.
One of my favorite videos that I watched a couple weeks ago was a top 10 of speedruns gone bad, like where they're almost at the end or something, something happens like that. And the look of disappointment on their face.
I hate
like
those videos.
Yeah, so
I hate those videos, like the compilation, so like Twitch fails and shit. Like, I don't want to watch people like being shitty.
The best one is those. He's almost through the speedrun and he's on a world record pace and his dog just runs over his fucking keyboard and ruins the whole game.
No
like
way.
Quits the game. So good.
Yeah. Oh, super quality. Hot. I missed.
Oh, yeah. That was like, yeah, really quick, right?
That would have been a good one to watch because I recently played that game, and apparently Lab Monkey did too. I know he mentioned in Discord that he had played that one as well. But another one that I caught that I really enjoyed was Super Mario 1, 2, and 3, just back to back. They played all those games, and they had multiple people playing it as well. But I don't know. I like that so much that I seriously considered going to Minnesota to watch it this year. And I'm thinking next year I
really?
Will.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy
it's funny
shit.
That you don't.
Is it, who's
you never
the...
got into speedrunning yourself, though.
No. You have to play so much to be good at that.
Who's the organization that does this? Right?
I think it's Games Done. Yeti? I see that logo all over the place.
They probably
maybe
sponsor
they're
it.
Sponsoring it.
Yeah, yeah, they might be.
But Yeti, like the...
No, not like the mic. It's like Y-E-H-T-E-E. Yeah, I'm not sure. But they do the summer one every year in Minneapolis. Yeah, Minneapolis. But it's like 5-6 days long. It's a long event, and that's, you know, a lot of time in a hotel room. Like I do short trips, you know. I can get out there. I almost bought a BlizzCon ticket too, by the way.
I'm going, by the way.
eBay. Oh, you're going?
Yes. I have a buddy that works at Blizzard, and he's got me a ticket.
That's nice. Awesome.
I mean, that's not crazy. $300, it's not the crazy.
No, $300 is pretty good, because they retail for $200 if you can get one, so $300 is not that bad. But the only reason that I would go would to be the Heroes of the Storm finals live. You know, that's such an amazing event, but I don't know if I want to pay $300 for
it. Well, maybe I'll go one day and get you the ticket for the next day or something.
All right.
Like that.
Yeah, let me know. Maybe we can work that out.
Yeah.
All right. I've been talking for a while, so somebody else.
All right.
Mini Metro?
Sure. Who's that?
That's me.
Oh, I'll talk about something. Talk about Edith Finch, because I'm kind of curious about that.
Okay, so What Remains of Edith Finch is basically people will call it a walking simulator, and that's what it's kind of like a derogatory term for these type of games. I feel, so it takes about 2 hours to play. The art and the graphics are super. The attention to detail is amazing. This game. If you go to Steam, it's like overwhelmingly positive with I don't know how many thousands of people who played it. I think it's about $15.
Yeah. It looks like it's a 10 out of 10 on Steam, 88% on Metacritic.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And it's only 2 hours, and people are not complaining about it being 2 hours for $15, and I am not either. Thank you, Mayo. He sent that over to me for my birthday. I would have probably never bought it on my own. But
does it move like Gone Home from first person perspective?
So,
or?
Yeah, so it's basically exactly that, or Firewatch, or any of these games. But the difference is they're not wasting your time. You don't have to go around searching for things. It's extremely linear. There's only one way to go. You know what I mean?
That could be a bad thing for video games. I've heard.
Well,
a lot
I was comparing
about
that to
especially for more like, you know, like role-playing games being too linear was a huge complaint.
Right.
But
for games like this, where they're just trying to tell a story,
it's story-driven. You can't mix up the story. You don't want the story.
If you set the pace,
you got to be careful with story, because if you put too many puzzles in there, then they act as these little like roadblocks to the story, and then you you kind of lose track of what was going on in the story when you have to stop and like fumble through some puzzle or find your direction. So yeah, I could understand them making it more linear.
And that's one of the things that is even more genius about this. The gameplay elements aren't puzzles. They're exactly that. They're little mechanics. Each story that you're told has a new mechanic, and you're not playing a game. It just lends to the story. You're doing things. I don't want to like give it away too much, but
it's almost like an immersive novel thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yep. And every little novella.
Good term.
Every novella that you have has a different theme and feeling and like overall, just like what they're trying to convey. And to add to the color and add to the room and add to the items is the way that you move your mouse for this little mini game. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
They're adding gameplay as a touch to storytelling. And every story that they tell has this. It's amazing. This is, I'm so stoked. I wouldn't say everybody, because if you're like crazy about action or whatever, but I mean, everything from the writing to the voice acting to everything was fantastic. The reveal wasn't that huge of a reveal, but it didn't matter. What was interesting about this is after that, after I played it, I looked up for secrets and like stuff that I missed, and there was nothing. So basically, it's all out there. You play it, and you know the whole thing. That's pretty much
no replay.
There's no replay at all.
You enjoy it.
It's 100% worth the money.
Almost like a movie.
It's like going to a movie. But so Sam was, so she sat there through the whole thing. And she loved the whole thing, and she was like on the edge of her seat.
Because you can watch these kind of games.
And this is what she said. She's like, that was really, really cool. She loved it. She said it was amazing. She said, but she also said, why couldn't you just go to YouTube? And I still feel, for me, as a game player, just even though you're just moving around and doing these simple movements, there is a certain level of immersion, which also adds more emotion for me. I'm more immersed in the whole thing.
I got so mad at you for doing like the Last of Us and just watching the YouTube of The Last of Us for the story. And that's exactly why. But you still did it for other games. But well, 2 hours before.
One game.
2 hours between 12
and 2 hours.
The Last
of Us is the one game my console playing boyfriend wants to watch me play. Like, he's already beaten the game, but he's been telling me.
Yeah.
If you like, I will watch you play this game, and
you should play that game.
If you want to play video games, play The Last of Us in front of me. That's basically what's happening.
Gameplay wise, it's pretty vanilla. Like, it's
you don't know, you haven't played.
I saw the video, dude.
It's cover based shooting, and it's literally just
the opposite of what you were saying.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
You don't know what the gameplay is.
There's a difference between watching someone play a game or watching the gameplay than actually playing the game yourself,
right? But there's one that has The Last of Us story is fantastic, but it's not condensed to 2 hours. It's a 14-15 hour game, and there's a lot of fluff
still
in there.
14-15 hours,
fluff is terrible
for one of the best games, arguably one of the best games ever.
Maybe the one of the best stories ever.
Yeah,
but the gameplay is
a lot
not,
of games.
There's nothing.
I've never played The Last of Us.
Me neither.
But a lot of games do have a lot of fluff, and it is really annoying. Like, that's just like something we accept as gamers, is that yes, this is going to have a lot of bullshit that nobody's going to even remember or care about. Mm-hmm. You know?
Bill says, "Hey guys, Emilio is right, but at the same time, Emilio, you should play The Last of Us."
Yeah. So. Okay, fair enough. You're wrong, but that's okay.
All right.
You have that on your account?
Overwhelmingly, can't recommend it too much enough. Yeah, I do have it.
I will definitely check that one out. That'll probably be one that I play with my girlfriend, because 2 hours is about the same amount of time as one episode
of a
Telltale
game. Now, when you say play with your girlfriend, you know that Amelia was the only one playing, and the girlfriend was just spectating.
Yeah, that's what we mean when we say play.
She was like, you know, there's a couple times where she's like, no, go right instead of left. Bobby, this is one where you could have her play. There's literally nothing. This
have
is a good place for WSAD.
That's like, oh, it's simple. Have the girl play it. It's so simple.
No.
Oh,
have the non-gamer significant other.
Yes.
Because you have the same situation going on.
I know.
All right, let's not get it sexist.
Get out the way.
But he has played The Last of Us.
But he's a great, actually, I will compliment my boyfriend. He's a great gamer. He played Divinity Original Sin with me.
Very well.
And actually caught on quickly, and we kicked ass at that game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's not an easy game.
No, not
you
at all.
You need to know a lot of, like, base stuff to even start that
You need
game.
To know how to listen to me. And that's basically
and that's
just
how that goes.
I'm sure he knows how to do that.
Just kidding.
All right. Is it my turn to talk?
Yes.
Yeah, what you got?
One of the games I purchased during the Steam Summer Sale was a game called Rabby Ribby. And Emilio mocked it and said it was probably not a good game because the art style is a... It looks a little... What's the best? Hentai, I guess you
hentai,
could say.
Yes.
It looks a little hentai. All right. I got a question for you guys, first of all.
Weren't we just talking about this the last...
Yeah. Well, what? He brought
podcast?
It up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He brought it up that he played...
I purchased it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have probably put close to 10 hours in now, and I love this game. This game is awesome. But I have a question for you. If a game... If the gameplay experience is amazing and the story is shit, where do you put this on your scale of how good it is? If the story is terrible,
Binding of Isaac doesn't have a story, really.
True. That's what I'm. So you can still consider it a really good game.
Yeah, of course.
If the gameplay works really well and the story is shit, right?
Yeah.
Because that's where I feel like this is. Like, I'm watching the cutscenes because I want to be emotionally attached to this game. And a lot of the times I'm like, this is silly.
What kind of game is this?
It's such a weeb game.
I'm glad you asked that. This is a Metroidvania game.
And I know you're excited because your voice cracked.
And as I was playing this game, I was like, you know, they need a name for this kind of game. And then I went to look for it because I was looking at other games like Ori and the Blind Forest and all these other games that are similar to it. And they're like Metroidvania.
Action platformer is what I would call it.
And I was like, oh, shit, it's a Metroidvania game, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I got a list here, and I want you guys to say yes or no whether or not it's a Metroidvania game. So I had a list of questionable ones, so I want you guys to say yes or no to this.
Metroidvania, sure. Meaning merging Metroid /
However, whatever you think of as the term Metroidvania.
Oh, okay.
So here's the first one, Rogue Legacy. Metroidvania?
That's more of a roguelike.
So... I said no because it's not really open world, right? You kind of go to that section and you finish it, and then you go back to the hometown. It's got like a home
base. It has Metroidvania qualities to it, for sure. Mm-hmm. But
it's
primarily a roguelike.
I think all you need to be Metroidvania is just like some platforms and you shoot stuff.
No. I completely disagree with you.
That you need to buy. Weapons, you need to beat one boss in order to get through a different door.
I don't even think it's
like
beat the boss.
It's
I think
like
you need to get
RPG.
Elements that change your gameplay to be able to get you to areas that you can't normally
get.
Right,
and you usually get those elements from beating bosses.
But it's not the boss that opens a door. That's not what I want as a Metroidvania game. I want the boss to drop the boots
that
double jump.
I'm telling you what it is.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody has their kind of own... For example here, Batman Arkham Asylum, Metroidvania or not?
No way.
Because I saw a lot of best lists, and they included Batman Arkham Asylum.
I guess there is a lot of going back over the
same... If you go by your definition, but usually I think of like a 2D...
That's what I said.
Platformer.
All right, Owl Boy. Do you consider that a Metroidvania? Because it doesn't really have platforming, because you fly. And I think platforming is an inherent element of Metroidvania, right?
I would say no again, because there wasn't like one castle. I feel like one big area, and that's it. No loading other zones. You go down.
I know, but that's not the only element I feel like is important.
I would say no on...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of these, by the way, that I'm mentioning have all been on best lists. I did research for best Metroidvania games. And these were all
I think they're reaching because they made a list.
Yeah. No, this is like between 6-7 different sites that all had their own. Hmm. So here's another one. Fez or the Swapper. I said no to these because there's no enemies. Like, I think enemies are an inherent part of
Metroidvania. I'd say yes on the Swapper, I think.
You think the Swapper is considered a Metroidvania?
I think, right? Bobby, what do you think?
I mean, it has platforms, and you do jump on them, and you shoot stuff.
See, my thing is, I consider that a puzzle game. And
I don't
the puzzle
like to categorize. I really don't, because you can get so anal about what exactly qualifies for this or that.
All right,
so I don't
last know. One, and then I'll go to my other thing related to this.
Another thing, great.
Dark Souls or The Surge, would you consider that a Metroidvania game? Because Dark Souls was also listed as on best list for some people.
I hadn't considered it till right now, but I think Souls are like a 3D Metroidvania. It's exactly what they are.
Dark Souls more so than
See, else you said. I disagree.
Asylum.
100% because...
Wait, you disagree?
I disagree. Because I think an inherent part of Metroidvania is areas are locked... And they're only accessible once you
That's exactly what Dark Souls is.
No, you get more items.
Hey, guy who only makes it to the first fucking boss.
Fair enough.
What do you know?
But just, you're playing. No, don't just.
You're way off, dude.
But tell me I'm wrong. Could you essentially go from the start to the end without getting more items?
Yeah.
If you are good enough.
No.
Why? What would you need?
Because you need things to unlock different areas.
Like
right?
what?
Different areas, yeah. And not only that, certain spawns. I'm pretty sure. Like somebody won't actually. Be in the game
until you reach
a certain point or do
but that's
a certain
what I mean.
Thing.
Like yeah. I think for Metroidvania, it has to be this item collection. It's kind of like a loot pinata, not a loot pinata, but you need to collect items to get stronger to get to the spots that you need to get to. And Dark Souls, you can go through from the start to the end.
If you have the skill, you can't. And you're just saying again that you can't.
The dude just beat it in an hour and a half. He's not picking up the.
He probably glitched the way through.
Okay. Well, we can agree to disagree.
Okay. Well, you're wrong.
So, anyways, to get back to Rabby Ribby, love the game. Solid Metroidvania.
Hey, what kind of game is it?
Metroidvania.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yes. Action is tight. You go around. I'm less than 50% done, and I've already spent 10 hours, so there's plenty of gameplay.
Yeah.
The downside is, obviously, the story is just absolute poop. Like...
Who cares?
Yeah.
I click all these games like this, I just click through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like with video games, we grade story on a curve. Like, if we say a video game has a really good story, it still doesn't hold up to any movie or TV out there. You know?
Well, I'm not agreeing with you necessarily. But in a game like this, where it's about collecting the items and all, I feel like you can get a lot of that story through the gameplay mechanics and not through the cutscenes and everything else. So in this sense, I agree with you on that. I did want to mention some of the best game Metroidvania games that I consider on the PC. Ori, obviously, Dust, Shantae, which is really good, Outland, Salt and Sanctuary, and Valda Story. Those are all like... Apparently I'm into Metroidvania games because these are all like games that Salt and Sanctuary is a little Dark Souls-ish, but to me it was a little too difficult for me. But I beat Outland and Shantae. I played for a long time. Dust, Ori. You went all the way through Ori on that, Amino. But I did want to mention a couple that I heard were awesome, but I haven't played. I'm just curious. Axiom Verge, have you guys played that? Because I heard again and again, like, this was the pinnacle of Metroidvania games in the modern era. Have you guys played Axiom Verge at all?
No.
I have not played it. I've heard very good things about it.
Okay. The other one was Cave Story Plus. So apparently this is... I heard... They even mentioned that this was the one that created the modern indie scene and all this stuff like that. Cave Story Plus.
Story is a very, very popular game made by, like, some kid out in Japan. Huh. And it was, like, a free game. And he just constantly worked on it. And it was like kind of this underground hit. And then Cave Story Plus is like the fully released, fully developed version of that game. 3 years ago, when I went to Comic-Con, I went to Video Games Live, which is where they do all this music from different video games. It's done by Tommy Tocatini. I can't remember his last name. Real Italian last name. But he's been doing soundtracks for video games since like the 90s. But the kid who developed that game was there that night. And he like came on up on stage, said a few words. It was in Japanese. I don't know what he was saying. They had a Tellerico. Okay. Tommy Tellerico. Yep. All right. Chat's helping me out here. But yeah, it's a great show. He tours this. So if you ever get a chance, like, definitely do it. But the kid who developed Cave Story happened to be there that night for Comic-Con, and he got up there to say a few words. It was really cool.
How old was he at the time?
I can't remember. He was young.
Because you called him a kid when he made it, and then a kid when he talked about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what? It's unfortunate, because I actually do enjoy Metroidvania-type games, but...
Well, I got a list for you.
I feel like I am programmed to only play them on handheld, and I haven't picked up a handheld in forever.
Fair enough. When I had my DS,
when I had my little PS.
I liked the one last year.
Did you not see it on your list? It was like the aquatic adventure of the last human on Earth. Or something like that. The water one. The water one, yeah.
If it's not platforming, I don't think it's a Metroidvania game.
It is.
No.
100%.
I completely disagree. By the way, there's a couple others that I haven't played that I heard were really good. And a lot of these Bobby has, so I'm going to list. Guacamelee, you guys have all played.
Right. Fantastic game. Oh, and by the way, the gold edition. Bobby, do you have the gold edition?
Yeah, like the Super Deluxe, Turbo Championship, whatever. Yeah, I think they automatically upgraded to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's on a lot. That's too. A co-op. We can play it together.
Yeah, yeah, I'm down. Yeah. I love them. Strider, the new one that came out in 2014, I heard was really good.
I don't know
anything about it. Bobby's got it on Family Share.
Family Share for the...
Shadow Complex, which I did play.
You loved.
I'm not sure if I consider it a Metroidvania, but I highly recommend it. Hollow Knight, Dead Cells, both came out rather recently, and both have overwhelmingly positive.
Hollow Knight, I've heard a lot about.
Dead Cells, I think, is more your style, Emil. And the last... Oh, you have a Bobby has Tokitori 2, which I heard really good things about, and Rain World, which I've heard really good things about.
I played a good amount of Tokitori 1.
Okay.
And that one... God. Tokitori 2 is basically the same thing, but just, you know, more levels, maybe a few variations on it. But that one is, it's kind of a bit of a puzzle game.
Yeah.
As far as a platformer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of on the Metroidvania tip right now.
Yeah.
Although I hate that term, Metroidvania. I wish there was just kind of like
a... It's too long of a word.
Yeah. We just need a different...
It kind of makes sense,
an MV.
Though.
An MV. Sure. We'll go
MV.
With it.
Oh, MV.
Does that make sense? Everybody, we can change gaming culture.
I don't understand the
we
need
are gaming culture.
To categorize.
Because
when you're describing a game to somebody, you have to say it's
in
like
little
this
box.
And that.
And then when you do that, though, then you have create all these
predispositions. What's option two, though?
So if I had a new food that you had no idea what it was, I'd be like, it's kind of like an orange. It kind of has...
No, I understand,
you know what I mean?
The reasoning for it, but I just don't think we should put too much weight on it. I think that's like a trap we can fall into.
It's funny that they're making genres out of actual games. Like, for instance, Metroidvania is just Metroid and Castlevania. Yeah. It's not
that's the only
genre
way we can describe
of its,
games
in itself. It's like you can only
comparing it to other.
Yeah,
games.
It's only like comparing it to old.
But
time.
That's why you shouldn't put it in a box, Chad.
No, I completely disagree. It has very set things.
No, it doesn't.
It's open world.
It
which
obviously
means
doesn't.
Everything is available. It is platforming, so you can't be flying around like Owlboy, can't be underwater.
Mm-hmm. No.
And it is essentially about item collection and item growing stronger over time to be able to access the whole world.
Wrong.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Cool. Glad we disagreed on that.
Let's talk about one brand new game that I played this week that I'm super excited about.
Is this
about.
One of 12?
Huh?
Are we adding this to the dozen?
No, but she is working on one of the 12 a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you guys didn't know... My computer just crapped out on me this week, so it's and a lot of my a lot of my completion games that I listed for myself are really high, like what
hour,
would you call it?
Yeah.
No, high hour, and also you do need a computer that has the performance to play these games.
Yeah.
So I might have to put that on the back burner, minus maybe, I don't know, Stardew Valley. I could probably download that. But one game that I thought I always owned in my library, and I thought I have even experienced before in my past, somehow I was convinced that I've actually played Killing Floor before.
Oh, yeah, we watched you play Killing Floor.
Yeah, but it wasn't until recently I saw two of my friends, and this is how I actually usually branch out and try out new games. It's when I see gamer friends that I really like play something that has co-op in it, and I want to join them. Like, I would rather play with them, and I'll play whatever game that they're playing. Killing Floor 2 was the game. I honestly thought I had it, and I realized I didn't, so I had to purchase it. Outside of the Steam sale, unfortunately. I checked dlgamer.us. The percentile discount wasn't big enough, so I ended up using a separate website for it. But anyway, it's Killing Floor 2.
I don't think we're friends
it's
anymore.
It's amazing.
Anyway.
I know we've talked about it before. Who else plays? Bobby, you're the one that
Bobby loves
Killing
it.
Floor 2.
Oh, yeah, I played a lot of Killing Floor 2.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I hopped right in, and I picked it up pretty quick. It wasn't even before, like, one map where I felt like I picked up on it. It's basically a survival shooter with some really twisted, demented-looking pigmen, clowns.
Cut in real quick. Bobby, have you played since the summer, whatever that is?
No, not since the big update.
Yeah.
Okay, so the regular dudes are replaced by pigs, and then, like, there's some guys that are so twisted up. I know the walking upside down on your limbs has been done before. They did it so well in this.
Yeah, it's like, it's creepy.
It's so creepy.
I've never been so terrified.
I was watching Chi. I was having a great time watching.
Yeah, of a cripple trying to like yeah. I'm like give me
so
cripple,
weird.
And it was really weird yeah. and demented, disturbing to say the least, but a lot of fun. I enjoyed the boss fights. I enjoyed the upgrades and weaponry, and it was just every now and then I would say like every on a 30-second cycle I would have like 3 seconds of slow motion, and that just added to it as well. Mm-hmm. Unless you were just
how's that triggered, Bobby?
I don't know if it's for sure or not, but I've heard that you can trigger it by getting multiple headshots, and there is a class that if you level that up, then you can extend the duration of that.
Oh, no wonder why it was
unfortunately
happening so often for me. I
well, it's for everybody at the same time,
I played,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I played like probably 4 or 5 different maps, and every map that we played, I got the most headshots.
Yeah, Chi's a headshot master. I never watched Twitch. I had a really good time watching that.
Oh, thank you. 'Cause
you were having so much fun.
I was.
Yeah.
I was
and it was infectious.
It's one
yeah.
of those games where the headshots are very satisfying because their head just like pops. It's like popping a grape. That game, and I'll also say Payday 2, headshots are very satisfying.
Ooh,
because
I would
the
love
helmet
to play
just
more
pops
Payday.
Off.
Yeah.
Just popping top. It's like,
I hear Destiny
Payday,
is very
Payday
satisfying.
Only
too.
Has it's iron true. Sights, which was the first complaint I ever had about Payday.
No, you can get there's so much shit you can get on your guns in that game.
Oh,
it's
really?
Kind of why I stopped playing it, because it just became too much at some at
oh,
one
you
point.
Have to level up and collect them. That's right.
You get drops, and then the drops could be anything. They could be a new mask. They could be a new like paint that you could put on your mask. They could be a modification for a gun that you don't even have yet. It there's so much of it. But
okay.
You can get sights there.
Let's start going down the list because I don't want to miss anything. Bobby, let's start at Mini Metro.
Well, this is kind of part of a whole thing here. I'll start with this. I mentioned I had beat 2 games this week, which doesn't happen very often, one of them being Headlander. The other one being a great game that I just have not brought up in so long.
Really,
it's been a while. Yes.
Are you glad that you went back to finish Headlander? Do you feel like those extra 2 hours, besides the satisfaction of beating a game,
mm-hmm.
was the content at the end worth it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was tough to get back into the story and figure out everything that was going on. And it's such a small game that doesn't get a lot of credit that I couldn't even go on Wikipedia and like read the plot outline. So I had a little trouble connecting with the story again. But the game, I picked up right where I left off. I left off of it in an easy spot. It's very difficult with some games to leave for a long duration and then come back and pick up. Like either you have no idea like what's going on. Like Prey, that's going to be a little difficult. Like what was I doing? Do I need to go to this area? What's my objective?
Especially since you're reusing the same like areas over and over.
Yeah,
what was that
confusing.
Game that was that Witcher 3 that did that? What was the game that when you started it up, it kind of gave you a summary of what was going on?
I think
was it
Pillar,
was that Witcher 3? Because I really appreciated that.
Does that too?
Oh, between the two games, you mean?
No. You when you booted it up,
oh,
it gave
where you are in the story? Yeah, that was Witcher 3.
Yeah,
every time you play,
I
it,
like
you're
that.
Like, well, Geralt,
yeah,
blah blah blah.
That is
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
such
like
a good idea.
Obviously on Lost kind of deal. Yeah,
yeah.
All right. So the other game that I beat was Go Home Dinosaurs. And Chi, have you ever played this game? This is probably one of the best tower defense games out there. This
you brought this up. I think the last time we recorded together.
Once again, somebody is wrong. The best one is Plants vs. Zombies.
That's not a tower defense
game. That's not really
that's
tower defense.
Oh, my God. Here we go again. Here we go. What is a tower defense?
Yeah. They would need to have towers and defending.
Yeah, one of the best tower defenses was actually on... I remember playing it on Xbox 360, and it was a 360 live tower defense game that went hard copy. When I know the name, I'll let you know.
But is it this good?
About
look at these graphics.
Does it have dinosaurs that are trying to steal your barbecue?
Yeah.
This is super cute. And it is a little plant versus zombies-esque, but it is an actual tower defense versus plants versus zombies, which I don't think is.
I was surprised how short this game was. Like, I went back in, I beat, like, a couple levels, and I was done with the game. It only has 3 different worlds.
Okay.
It's a shorter game than I thought it was.
We mock you, Bobby, about your dinosaur fetish. but I did play this game a while ago, and it was really good.
Yeah, it's a good game. Like, awesome. It's not amazing. If you read some of the reviews, they're hilarious. Like, some people are like, well, you know, it doesn't have this or that, like other Tower Defense. I'm like, dude, it's fucking cartoon dinosaurs trying to steal your barbecue, man. Like, this isn't supposed to be a super deep game here. This is a fantastic game.
Well, what Tower Defense
play.
Is super deep? There's none.
Actually,
well,
I like Sanctum. Grid is pretty... Super
yeah, Defense
oh, Sanctum.
Yeah.
That's the one I
Sanctum,
was
I really like. Orcs Must Die.
Dungeon Defenders.
Kinda. Dungeon Defenders. I really like the ones where you do the first person shooter after you do the tower defense right. part. Like, I think that's awesome. I don't know why I haven't played more Sanctum, but yeah. So Go Home Dinosaurs, finally beat that one. Highly recommended. But before all this, I had mentioned I
did
had taken
Did you Twitch
that trip.
Cassis, by the way? Did you Twitch?
No. No.
Why didn't you?
Nobody wants to watch me play. Go home.
Everybody.
I did.
I streamed it because I was streaming some Heroes of the Storm, Cho'Gall games. You're welcome, Cricket. He didn't even show up, dude. I was like, this guy bugs me about streaming Cho'Gall games.
I saw that. He's been spamming.
And he doesn't even show up. But in between rounds, I was playing Go Home Dinosaur. So, yeah, you could have caught some of the dinosaur action there. But I did some traveling. When I travel, I play a lot of games on my phone. I brought along my SNES 8-bit Dough, which is a little Bluetooth controller that can connect to your phone. But when you use it as Bluetooth, it sucks. There's a little bit of a delay there, and it's just enough to throw you off. Mm-hmm. And I forgot about that. I had the same problem last time, and it just totally... We got some hilarious stuff getting posted in the chat here.
More Kanye's, that is hilarious.
Wow. But I was playing some SNES emulators. I was playing also Mini Metro. I finally checked that out. And
this was on your phone.
Game. Yeah, on my phone. It was a good game for the phone, but it was kind of hard to control it. I want to try it on the PC, but Chad, you talked about this. You played it. And this was kind of a popular indie game.
Super clean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the music and the way it looks and the way it plays, just super clean.
Yeah, but it's a really good puzzle game about like transportation, but... I didn't realize it's... I thought you just kept building and building and building, but what you do is you create all these routes, and you're trying to get people around to different areas, and then when you fail, it's just game over. So you just kind of see how far you can go, and then the game stops.
It's kind of like a snake. It's a roguelike.
Yeah, the game looks very simple, almost like you're just looking at a metro map. No, I'm just...
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing homework.
Oh, I like that, what you've been doing.
Yeah. Cool. I'm at 5%.
Since we don't have a fucking Jens.
Yeah.
Fuck off, you Swedish.
No, Mini
dick.
Metro, though, and they also do challenges where you have to do certain setups and all. It's a really good game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd recommend it. It's a good puzzle game. It kind of works on the phone if you got kind of a big phone like I do. But when I was... I mentioned this earlier in the show. I was at the Museum of Pop Culture where they had all sorts of stuff. It was really cool, like props from sci-fi movies and horror movies, which was like they had the hoverboards from Back to the Future. Like they had a lot of shit. I couldn't believe it. Costumes.
That's awesome.
But they had a whole section called like Indie Game Revolution presented by Nintendo, which I thought was weird because I don't think of Nintendo when I think of indie games.
Yeah.
But you walk into this room, it's kind of like a small exhibit. They've got all these games that you can play. So there's people just sitting down playing these games. And they had, among those, Axiom Verge. They had Mini Metro. And it was funny because when I walked in there, like my girlfriend immediately recognized Mini Metro. She's like, hey, that's a game that you were just playing. I'm like, yep, good for you. She knows like nothing about games. It's like some of the stuff she asks me is just like so off the wall. So when she gets something right, it's like, you know, pat on the back. But
how are you guys so patient with
you are
girls?
So condescending.
I'm sorry. No, I don't
mind. You want to mansplain that
bit
more?
I'm actually kind of very impressed by how patient you guys are with your non-gamer girlfriends, but I think maybe Oliver SOs are a little bit, like, they support our gaming habits and our passions, but, like, I don't have the patience to kind of, like... An RPG is, you know, or something like that.
And I'm very much like that,
you know?
Too. Like, I get a little grumpy when she starts asking me questions because it's like, you know, you have to explain. So it's like, where do I even begin? Like, I can't think of an example right now, but some of the questions that she'll ask me are just so, like, fundamental. It's like, oh, boy. All right. So there's a controller with buttons on it that you press and it does things on it. Like, you have to start from, like, way back. So, yeah, that can be a little frustrating.
Oh, my gosh. You should have seen how frustrated I was just kindly asking, but kind of hoping that my boyfriend would help me carry my computer into the car because it's like a two-man job. One person has to watch the door.
If you're a girl.
We have to move the car so it's on,
if you're
flat,
cautious,
so it's on flat ground. Like, I was, and I was so grumpy. I was like, that thing is valuable. Don't like wait for me. This is
but
a two-man job.
He's helping you.
Yeah, he's helping me, but I was still
yelling at the help.
Yeah, I was yelling at him.
At the help.
Yeah, I was.
Gee.
Okay. Somebody's doing you a favor. Yeah. And you're yelling at the way they're doing you
a
favor.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's like he didn't know that it was like, oh, for me, it's not a one-man job.
Have
for
people
me,
critique
moving a computer
you
is a two-man job.
While you're
job.
Making a drink, that you're doing it wrong? Has it happened? Could you imagine? You see?
Well,
you
okay, see? A drink, the value of a drink is like $3-some. And then.
Yeah. Nah, CJ's, it's $2.50.
Yeah. Right? And then the value
apparently
of a drink.
Apparently, Max's help
like,
is only worth $1.
Yeah,
no,
apparently.
His help, it's like, I was like, it's so important. Do you understand? That is like, I'm not going to have my own children. I'm not going to have living, breathing children. My computer, that's my baby. You know, don't drop my baby.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
You're number two behind this piece of. This piece of equipment you're carrying. So if you drop it, you might as well drop yourself too.
If you drop that, you walk away, you never come back.
Yeah. Right.
All right, what else have we played?
All right, Bill is asking in chat, why don't I archive my Twitch streams? I used to. Maybe I'll start doing that again.
It's
why did you stop?
One of those things where if you're a Twitch streamer and you hate watching your replays, hate seeing your face.
You don't have to watch your own archives, though.
But
I don't listen to myself on the podcast.
You always do.
You just know it's there.
I think everybody.
For us, like, sometimes we don't like listening to our own voices on podcasts.
Sometimes. There's no time I like my voice.
It's funny because you talk a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
Who would have known?
One more thing I want to mention about this exhibit, this Indie Game Revolution exhibit. They had some screens up with indie game developers talking about their game or talking about game development. They also had a really good, I almost took a picture of it, a really good diagram of how you develop a game. Like, here are the three parts of it, and here are the steps in each part of it, you know, the planning. And, like, it was very exact, and, like, I've never seen game development laid out like that. I was like, oh, shit, that's it right there. Like, I feel like I could develop a game now. But
let me jump in real quick, Bobby, speaking on.
Of course you did. He couldn't get through his whole point.
Did you? I thought you were done.
No.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Well, you said, like, I'm going to jump in real quick. Yeah, I had something to add to that.
No, I wanted a segue.
Oh, you're trying to segue.
No.
That's not a jumping in. That's like jumping out. Away.
Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Bobby. One of the videos, the only one that I wanted to see, and they're on a loop, so you got to wait for them to come up. And I kept checking back. I'm like, ah, fuck, I missed it. But finally, Brendan Chung was talking about his game, Quadrilateral Cowboy, and here's the funny part about it. He had trouble saying the name of that game too in the interview. It was a long take, so he probably stumbled over it, and they're just like, and everything else after that was gold, so like, let's just fucking roll with it. But
why would you do
funny.
That
Even
why would you have a game
saying the name? It's a good name, but he had a really good I've heard that this guy is very insightful when it comes to game development, and he had some really interesting things to say about learning in games. And he was talking about how people treat learning in games like it's a bad thing. Like, they do tutorials at the beginning of games that are apologetic. They're like, sorry, we have to drag you through this. Okay, this does that, that does this, and there you go. And then it stops, and then you go do the rest of the game. And he said with Quadrilateral Cowboy, what he wanted to do was a game that you constantly are developing those skills, you're learning throughout the game, and you know, that's the game itself is learning.
Yeah, I do like games that do that slowly unlocked certain things. It's almost like in the past how all we had was a button layout screen and that you had to study in the booklet, might I add, whereas now the developer is kind enough to incorporate that into the game. So, you know, you're growing with the game versus doing your homework before you could even play.
Bobby,
I think the apologetic ones should be the ones that are like, if you're doing everything that everybody else already did, then you kind of have to be like, oh, okay, well, we're teaching you what you already need to know. But Quadrilateral Cowboy, that's like new gameplay mechanics, right?
Every level kind of builds on each other, which is like, it reminds me of math. You know, it's like I took math classes like when I first started going to college, and then I stopped going to school for a while, and then I came back and I tried to pick up where I left off in math, and I was like, what the fuck? Sine, cosine, hold on a sec. You know, what's all this shit? You know, math builds on each other. You have to learn, you know, trigonometry before you go into calculus and shit. And if you forget that, then it all falls apart. And Quadrilateral Cowboy is like that, where you have to, you one level you learn how to do one thing. You're like, okay, now I have that applied knowledge. So this next level, okay, I remember how to do that. But there's something new that I got to do as well. And it all just keeps building
on
top of each other.
A quick, simple game that does that is Portal.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And we all love Portal. Yeah.
Bobby, you're segueing into your experience with Quadrilateral Cowboy, right?
No, I've got nothing new to say on that game. Okay. That's another game I got to go back to. I got so many games that I got to go back to.
But speaking of tutorials, I thought the Human Fall Flat tutorial system that they did was it wasn't really apologetic. It was more like
hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, we were laughing throughout.
Well, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon kind of lampshaded the tutorial. They're just like, we got to do this shit now and then, like, you know, do that.
Can you not bring that game up every podcast?
Nah, I'm going to bring it up every day of the week.
But should we talk about Human Fall Flat?
Yeah, I mean, we're here.
The tutorials, basically, so Human Fall Flat, you play
what,
as...
What kind of game is it?
It's a Metroidvania. No.
I was like, oh, God.
What would you describe it? It's just a puzzle game. It's a 3D...
Yeah, it's a physics puzzle game.
Physics-based puzzle game.
Puzzle game, yeah.
But the guys look like the guys in Gang Beasts.
With some Fumble Core elements.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Fumble Core. Yeah. So you're basically playing the dude from Gang Beasts, but you're trying to do these puzzles. And...
All right.
Okay. chat's just getting out of control now.
But they do these
putting
tutorials
of me and shit.
The tutorials are like basically mocking you for picking up the tutorial because they're kind of optional. You see these objects on the ground, and if you pick them up, it'll give you a tutorial. But if you pick them up, they'll kind of poke fun at you or something.
It's really well done.
It is. It was well done.
So the tutorial is really well done. The game is fun, very fun. We were playing it co-op, but it's a little slow.
It is.
A little slowly paced. There's no direction, and when you do that with an open world, you just don't know what... who knows how long it's going to take, because you don't know if you go east, south, or west.
It was like they had these simple little puzzles to start with, and then it was like, boom, okay, level 3 is fucking 50 times as big as those previous ones, and then level 4 is fucking 50 times that size, and you have no idea where you're going, and they've kind of got red herrings where they've got objects placed there, but you don't need to use them to solve the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So it got complicated really quick, and we were kind of just like a little bit over our heads.
Well, I feel like the factory was more complicated than the medieval, which was after it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
and it was all physics-based, so if you could fudge the physics a little bit...
You could cheat.
You could kind of bypass puzzles.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Ooh, game's done quick. Coming up next year, we're going to be doing Human Fall Flat.
Yep.
But I could definitely recommend this game. It was $15 for a co-op.
Do you think it was worth $15?
If you're playing with two people, yeah. If you're playing single player, probably not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If this was $5, I would say a buy. If this was $10, I'd be like, it's hit or miss. If it was at $15, I feel like you're not...
We don't even have clothes. They got clothes in the fucking video, dude.
Hey, that's the second playthrough. They paid extra for that.
Yeah.
What I love about Gang Beasts is that it's just one giant giggle fest.
Yeah, too.
It was.
And there's a lot of that here, but not as much because you're working together, not punching each other out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of that, yeah. I mean, not 3 minutes went by that we weren't laughing at something or other.
And it was usually Emilio falling off the island again and again and again.
Well, Chad was figuring out the puzzles, and I was doing the jumping.
He was exploring. He was going out and exploring.
Yeah.
But
there is a part where you have to shoot yourself through a catapult. Super fun.
We started playing this because Emilio and I wanted to play some couch co-op, and we were trying to find some new couch co-op. And so he saw this game, and so we played it, and we enjoyed it. So all in all, it was a good time, but it wasn't a great time for me.
Yeah.
But the one that I did enjoy when we were playing couch co-op is we played some more of the For the King. We reviewed this a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and it was still really early. It had gotten further since we had played it before. It felt more cohesive.
Yeah. And so it's a roguelike turn-based RPG. Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roguelike with a three-person team
with a grid-based overarching world. So kind of think of kind of like Final Fantasy, but you're not walking. Yeah, kind of Final Fantasy fighting with a grid-based map instead of walking around freely. Pretty
yeah.
much. Yeah. And but the interesting thing is, if you die, that's it. You're done. It's a roguelike. So you're doing as much as you can. And I think what you're trying to do to better your other runs is unlock these stronger characters.
Yeah, I think so,
which
too.
Which we've failed to do.
We didn't.
We've only
time.
Played twice.
Yeah,
But we're learning as we go. And out of everything, I'm most excited to play this some more.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's awesome.
Dude, I had fun the first time, but it was really early and you could see all the flaws.
Yeah.
And now it's starting to clean up a little
Very
bit.
Very cohesive. It's working.
I think at this point now, I would say I would endorse the early access purchase for this game.
The only problem I don't...
What's it at, by the way, Bobby?
It's $14.99, but it was...
No, not Human Fall Flat.
Oh.
For the King.
Okay.
My bad.
While he's looking that up, I feel like since my computer is out of commission currently, it'd be a really good time for some co-op couch games.
Yeah.
Some relationship-building games here.
You mean you're going to come over and play video games? Is that what you're saying?
I was talking about with Max. But,
How are you going to do that, though?
She has another computer, right?
I don't understand.
Oh, I have a laptop.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a good game. I mean, you have access to our thing.
And this one is not similar to Divinity, but it's got the same, you know, Dungeons and Dragons kind of basis.
The art is fantabulous.
Yeah.
I love the
art style on this game.
It looks like somebody made everything out of clay or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of clay.
But not claymation. I don't know.
What
it looks sculpted.
$14.99.
This one's $14.99.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, this one is worth it. Between the two, that Human Fall Flat and this one, I would definitely say spend your money on For the King. And it's still early access. They still got more to go on this.
Yeah. You mentioned that it's a grid-based game, and the artwork is very like hexagonal as well. So it's got really sharp edges, very cartoony.
Yeah.
Yeah, but colorful. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
My only small complaint is, most of the time, you're going to be playing with two people, right? Like, it's either two or four when you're playing couch co-op, usually. And this is there's three characters. So I had to control two, or Chad has to control two, which just doesn't feel right. Sam,
so you can't just have two players.
You have to have three. Well,
so Emilio was controlling two and I was controlling one, but it's turn-based, so you're just talking it out.
Yeah, just
one guy's got the controller for two.
Yeah, yeah. Understandable. Okay.
You know, but we're saying, hey,
it's
should we do this?
It's a minor complaint.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I would be nice if we could do two or four, therefore each had two or each
had
one.
Exactly.
For sure.
But we'll get Sam in our next run. She likes this game.
Yeah, she played that last time and had a good time.
Of course, you played the blacksmith, just wrecking shop.
Yeah, the blacksmith is juiced. All right, what else do we got?
I'll talk about my last game. So I had talked to somebody, a guy that I play a lot of HOTS with, and he recently started listening to the podcast, and he hasn't been playing that much HOTS. I'm like, dude, where you been?
He's been listening to the podcast.
Well, you know.
Backlog.
That only takes so long. But we had brought up Civ 5, I guess, on an episode, so he checked that out, and then he just disappeared. You know how it is with Civ 5.
Oh, yeah.
So he was asking for a lot of recommendations with a Steam sale going on, and, of course, I'm saying this and that. And, you know, I'm like, you know, if you liked Civ, you know what was a good game I liked? It was Tropico, that series. Here's the thing. Like, Tropico is not as good as Civ 5. Like, I'll say that right now. But Tropico has... It has style, all right? It's got that Ricky Ricardo, you know...
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, you know, it's got style.
It's got some humor to it.
It's got a lot of humor.
Yeah.
So I started playing... I thought about that. I'm like, fuck, dude, I bought Tropico 5, like, when it came out, because I was so in love with Tropico 4 at the time, and then I never played it. So
you didn't finish Tropico 4 either.
Dude, that game is so long. Yeah. And I'm having the same problem with Tropico 5.
Mm-hmm.
These are 4X games, in case you don't know. They're 4X strategy games where you have to expand, explore, exterminate.
Why are you putting it in a box, Chad?
Wait.
Why are you bringing this up? Why can't you just tell us exactly?
Is SimCity a 4X game? Because I consider Tropico as
Yeah, there's really no exterminate, but yeah, Tropico's like that. It's a city builder. But
it's a city builder, right?
Special missions on what to do in each level. And that's you're working on two cities. So, you know, the one mission is just like, okay, you're going to get your economy set up. Next one, you're going to get your military set up. And then before you know it, your city is like very well rounded after all these missions. But I'm stuck on one that I'm having a hell of a time with. And it really sucks. I had the same problem with Warcraft 3, where you will play a mission. There's like a half-hour mission on Warcraft 3. And if you fail that, I failed that, like, it's like a holdout mission. You got waves coming in. You got to fend them off.
That's where I gave up.
Yeah. And then you got to make it, like, for 30 straight minutes. And I got to, like, 28 minutes, failed, had to do the whole goddamn thing over again.
They have the same thing for WoW. That was one of the bosses, was that whole fucking 30-minute hold-off wave defense one.
Yeah.
That was a shit boss,
World
by the
of Warcraft,
way.
I can almost accept that a little bit more in an MMO.
Yeah,
but in a game like this, I'm just like, holy shit, dude, give me a checkpoint. You know, give me a save point at some point. So I've played this mission on Tropico 5 a couple of times. I've put maybe 10 hours of this game in this week, and I'm on, like, the fifth mission, and I just can't get past this fucking fifth mission. Because you have to, you know, keep your people happy, you got to keep your economy going, and then you have to meet the mission requirement. So sometimes I'm, like, keeping the people really happy, and then sometimes I'm getting the mission requirement, but then my people revolt against me, and, you know, I kill them, but, you know, they just keep revolting.
You didn't look up YouTube or anything about, like, how to do it?
Oh, yeah, I've been Googling. I've been figuring stuff out. Because this game is hard to figure out. Yeah, it has. It's improved some things. Like, I'm like, wait, what the... They give you the almanac, which, like, gives you, like, you know, this is how much you're exporting and importing, and this is, you know, what you're making. And there's a lot to this game. Like, even, like, Civ 5, there's just so much knowledge you need to build to be good at the game. So it's taken a while, and I'm having fun, but really I kind of would just want to go into the sandbox mode and just build a big giant
city. Just do that.
Like you used to do in SimCity. I'm going to try that out. But there's so much DLC for this game as well, and they're like their own specific missions. I might check some of that out.
Bobby, I have to ask, have you ever played Dinosaur Tycoon?
Dinosaur Tycoon?
Oh my god, that sounds...
No. I like the dinosaur part. The tycoon has me a little skeptical.
Well, I mean, you're talking about, you know...
Dinosaur park or
building.
Just dinosaur?
You basically had, I remember playing this in school when they would, like, when you were playing, like, Numbers Munchers, Oregon Trail kind of stuff. Dinosaur Tycoon, it's like Roller Coaster Tycoon, but with a dinosaur amusement park, Bobby.
Okay, I can get on board with that. I did play a lot of Roller Coaster Tycoon. Wait, no.
Yeah.
I didn't play that one.
I've never played a tycoon game.
It was on Reddit, and one of the best ideas I've ever heard of was a Jurassic Park simulator, and you did the simulation to build Jurassic Park, but then at some point it switches to a first-person survival game all based on the park you designed. So based on, like, you know, you build your park up and then the park goes to shit and then all the monsters come out. I always thought that was a good idea.
Damn, that would be a good game.
Sorry, it's called Dino Park Tycoon.
Dino Park.
Yep, you got to raise dinosaurs.
Is this a mobile game?
I'm sorry?
Is it a mobile game?
No, this is like way back in the day, before mobile existed.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
This was on MS. It was a DOS game.
Oh, wow.
So, but this is Tropico 5, you're on. You've given up on Tropico 4?
Yeah, because I just wanted to try the new game out. And I mean, really, Tropico 4 going to 5, there's really not a lot of differences. I mean, they are there, but it's not like huge changes or anything. So you're basically just playing, you know, it's like when the new Call of Duty comes out, you know, you're just playing the new version of the game, basically. But yeah, it's pretty good. I still recommend it. You can get it for nothing. It's $6, you get the game and all the DLC.
For five?
Yeah, for Tropico 5.
Wow.
Did your buddy pick up Tropico 5 then?
I don't know. I linked it to him, but this was like right before I went on my trip. So
the only way to win this game, you have to get the missions done? It's not like the missions aren't a side thing?
No.
Okay.
No, you have like one main mission in each level.
Sounds like you got to stop sucking.
This is the campaign that they do.
Have you tried to get good?
Yeah, I've been working on it. Okay. I've been getting there. I'm very close. But the problem is that if you... There are places you can save the game at any time, but the mistake that I made, I have to go way back to correct it. Sometimes I have to go back to almost the beginning of the level and be like, okay, now I got to start building these buildings over here and start addressing these problems with my economy or with my security or whatever. You know, it's just like it can just slowly creep into failure. very easily.
It's funny how like you solidly say that Civ 5 is a better game, but this game is just more your style, and how like a game can be for a certain person
more my style. I'm saying it has more style. Like this game is like, you know,
but
like
it obviously appeals to you more.
Yeah, but would you rather play Civ 5 or Tropico 5?
Yeah, well, I played so much Civ 5 though. I mean, I'm not saying one like I would rather do one or the other. Civ 5 is by far, you know, a better game, I would say. Tropico does get a little repetitive, but I just love the comedy in it. I love the style. I love the whole like Puerto Rican, Colombian thing, El Presidente.
Yeah,
that's cool.
The administrator, or your right hand man from four, his name was Penultimo. He kind of makes some appearances in this one, and everyone kind of treats him as crazy Penultimo. You know, like it's so. There's like some
Civ's a little dry. I mean, it's a really good game.
It's like historical.
And it's nice to have a little flavor. You know what I mean?
Is this us trying to compare like Grand Theft Auto with Saints Row?
Yeah, it is kind of like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is.
Like that. Yeah.
That's an okay
and
comparison. Yeah.
Even though Saints Row is probably objectively a worse game, it's more some people's style.
Yeah.
And so it gets points.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, funny enough, Animal Lover, I know this is the third time it's coming up, but the writer of Animal Lover got on our Discord and thanked us for the shout out and the mention.
Really?
And how, like there, he's like, you know, he shamelessly Googles the game and nobody's talking about it. And he's like, I'm so glad you guys brought it up. And I was honest with him. I was like, dude, guys, they bought it as a goof and I enjoyed it. Like, I thought the writing was really
that
good.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and he's the main writer. And and here's the worst. Here was just like a miscommunication. So I'm like, hey, we're going to be live on, because I talked to him 45 minutes ago. And I was like, hey, we're going to go live pretty soon. He's like, let me find my mic. And I'm like, no, like, you're not going to be on the podcast.
Oh, man.
This time, but email me and we'll set it up.
Yeah,
for sure. But, like, not this
time. I'm down to talk to anybody that's making games. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Well, that's awesome. That I love when that happens with these games. What was the other one?
It was a roguelike shooter, and I was the only guy streaming it, mm-hmm. and they came, and I just happened to have a podcast that
these
came
kinda
on.
It's kind of like indie games, or, you know, they have, like, a small team, like these guys that are really trying to get their game out there. They're definitely more inclined to notice, like, and we cover a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, we cover as well as like the big stuff. I feel like every day we're bringing like new games that are just
like Rabby Ribby. Boom!
Oh my God,
I told him had the animals turned into hot chicks instead of
hot dudes,
it would have probably went viral, like Rabby Ribby or something like that. Yeah. You know, but because it's on Steam and 90% of the player base is men, it just doesn't appeal.
Can we get 80%?
But that would violate his artistic integrity.
No,
it's got
it's
hot
of course.
Dudes or nothing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just one of these things where, like,
he had a dream. He had a vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes people create things not for the fame and glory and money.
If I do interview him, my first question is going to be, are you gay? I'm just curious. But
maybe he just has an artistic vision.
He's like,
why do you got to categorize people?
Yeah, why do you got to categorize?
Maybe he just
he's kind of like gay, kind of also tastes like a meatball.
Maybe he just loves whoever he loves.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
I love it when I get that response. So, I'm like, are you gay? Are you homosexual?
Fasty's off his meds.
I just love who I love. I'm like, okay.
So I have Chad Wants the Island, and somebody else has Player Known's Battlegrounds.
I just linked PUBG because we had played this week, so I put it on the.
Okay, so
it's the same thing.
We have a specific story that I think is
break
fantastic.
It down.
So we had a bad night because Chad was there, and
we were playing squad PUBG.
Chad usually at least gets a kill or a knockdown per game.
We were all playing like shit, though. It wasn't like it wasn't.
Chad was playing really poorly, and
we all were.
He couldn't even. We played four games. He hadn't seen an enemy.
It was really bad.
He hadn't seen one. Right, so you know it was bad, and so
but
he gets frustrated, and we're drinking. And he goes, "Can we just go to the fucking island? Can we just?"
I've been trying to go this island because I've heard it's got good stuff on there.
Well, it's the island that you spawn on.
There's actually on the map in the upper right corner is the island you spawn on while you're waiting for the flight.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, but it doesn't have all the loot that. It has one.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. But it is a military base, right? Mm-hmm. So the trajectory was right. Chad's fuse was about right because he was about to give up on the game, and he's like,
"It wasn't
I just want to go to the island."
Right? That wasn't it at all. I said very calmly, "Hey guys, I suggest we go to the island because I've heard there's lots definitely of good not. Stuff there."
So we jump out of the plane, get into the get into a boat, and start heading towards the island. Run out of gas. It couldn't have been more movie moments in one game than this game. Like, we raced there. We're looting real quick. There wasn't shit there,
so,
really.
Wait. So you have to drop down on the mainland and then get a boat and get to the island. So Emil's like, "I got a boat." We're like, "Yeah, like jump on the boat."
Beach it.
Emil's like, "I beached the boat." We're like, "What the fuck?"
Run to another boat. Try to pick him up again. I get him this time. We make it there. We loot for 30 seconds, maybe.
Yeah, like a minute.
Jump
tops.
On the boat again. Come back. We left one guy, Mr. F and Sweet. He's on a cliff in a car. And
we're racing the purple blue.
The blue is right behind us, right? Yeah. So it's going to start killing us. And we see Ray, and he's in a car, and there's a cliff.
The circle, by the way, is the worst possible location. The circle's around the military base all the way on the south.
South. So and we're all the way, the northernmost north. Thing. So you can see Mr. F and Sweet's icon racing towards the cliff in a car. We're racing
because we don't
cliff.
Even have time to stop.
Yeah, we don't have time to stop. So we're like, this is going to be so epic. Like, he's going to fly off the cliff into our boat. It's going to be the best thing ever.
That's and awesome.
Didn't happen. No. So he literally
dribbled off.
He fell
dude that, the, like an 80-year-old. Fucking orgasm, man.
Yeah,
it just sucked. Dribbled out like, the tip of his dick.
We're like, oh, that is so counterproductive. So I turned, picked him up. We're in the blue now. Now we're racing the blue. The blue would take over. We would take over. The blue would take over. Keep going all the way down. We finally get to Novo, and we loot some stuff. It doesn't really matter.
We kill a couple dudes, which I didn't see, but dudes were dying. Mr. Evan Sweet, by the way, is really good.
Yeah, he's really
good. He's like fucking headshot. Oh, headshot there. Headshot there. I'm not even seeing guys. I'm looking around. I'm getting shot. Yeah. Oh, headshot. Good.
And Chad knows his place. Like, once it gets towards the end of the game, he goes, okay, this is my moment. And he gets up and he just runs in the field so we can see where the enemies are.
Yeah.
Basically. And that happened.
Masturbator, Chad.
Yep. Out of the last 10 guys, I took out 6. I was super proud. And then we got chicken dinner.
Yeah,
awesome. Got chicken dinner.
We went from the
I died, but like, Ray
complete shit on the top. Jiffy. Us running around, we were running around the whole. Pretty much in PUBG, if you're running around the whole time, you'll get pretty close to chicken dinner because you're not getting shot at because you're like avoiding people.
Super quickly, good robot is a. You're kind of like flying around, like a roguelike twin stick shooter. You know what's funny is I was going to return it, and then I saw that I was only going to get $250 back. I'm like, let the devs have it. It's not a bad game. It's just not that fun. I was having way more fun when I put my own soundtrack behind it. It looks great. It's just missing some stuff.
Do you want to talk Total Mori real quick?
Sure. I really got to pee again, but go ahead.
Total Mori is a free-to-play game, so right there's no like downside, right? You can just pick it up on Steam.
You can just pick it up. There's no pay. There's nothing. It's free-to-play, but not in the way that you're thinking.
It's just like, a free game.
It's just a free game.
And basically it is a... What would you describe it as?
A party game that only has one mode?
Yeah, it's a one-mode party game.
Yeah.
And basically you're trying to stack these...
Totems.
Oh, you were streaming this today.
Yeah. Kind of. Our stream sucked today.
There was a buzz on your stream.
Yeah, everybody was saying it.
Yeah, we were trying to figure it out. We couldn't figure it out. So you're trying to stack these totems.
You gain points.
If you put the top brick on, that's your totem, and you're getting points for the whole totem. So you're trying to stack these tall totems, but your opponent can knock them down or build his own. And so it's just about building these and knocking them down. So it's kind of a battle royale, but you're not specifically damaging the other opponent.
But you can. You can knock them down.
You can knock them down briefly, but it was
really fun. It was fun. It totally worth the download. If you've got somebody to play with, if you have one friend, you can play this game.
If it's the first time that you're on PC and you have zero money, then I would say this is the one to go
for. Yeah, this is the one to go with.
But it got old. After 30 minutes, we were like, okay, this
with
is...
four players, it might have changed, switched it up, but not too much.
And if we had been drinking, it would...
Yeah, well, we were.
But yeah, it was fun.
Anything else on this list? Mine.
No, I think that's everything on the list.
All right, go to the bathroom. We'll do some listener questions.
All right.
You and your tiny little bladder.
Should we do news?
Yeah,
Chad, do you want to talk about your hardware?
Oh, okay. So I'm starting to get more blue screens again.
Uh-oh. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Amelia, you are all over the board. Sorry, let me move this so it doesn't fucking... All right, so I'm getting blue screens again. I'm doing some research. I'm getting it due to my Ethernet controller. And I have no... I don't know what to do about this. It's this Atheron... What are you smiling about, Bobby?
What I'm reading chat here, and there's just like this whole log going on about my sideburns, and I'm trying to think if I have a picture to show these guys, but I don't think I have it scanned, but I got some. You want to see the greaser look? I'll get the pictures out.
Well, yeah. Bobby has the greaser look down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had sideburns. I tell the kids all the time, these sideburns are older than you, so show some respect.
That's funny.
That's true.
Awesome.
Anyways, so I've got an Ethernet controller that is giving me blue screens, and I've tried to do everything I can, and I can't fucking get it to not blue screen. So I decided to get a USB to Ethernet adapter and then disable my Ethernet controller that was giving me problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the StarTech. Here, I got the box right here.
Yeah. StarTech, I've used some of their products before.
And what do you think?
I've had good luck with it. I have a external drive by them, and also an external drive case I've used by them, and also a adapter that I use to connect hard drives via USB, which has worked pretty well for me.
So this is a StarTech USB 3.0 to gigabit Ethernet adapter. Question for you, Bobby. If it's USB 2.0, will I still be getting the same speeds? Will 2.0 get as good speeds as I need for Ethernet?
Yeah, you should be fine. Does it say what type of Ethernet port is it? 100 megabit or a gigabit?
It's 100. It's 100. It's 10/100 or whatever it's called.
10/100. Yeah, you should be fine. I mean, you know, they advertise gigabit Ethernet, which is great. But, you know, by the time that goes out through your modem, I mean, that's where the bottleneck is anyway.
Yeah.
It's really not going to help your internet connection or your speed. The gigabit is nice if you're sharing files locally. So, like, if you are getting files off of
Emilio's
computer or something like that, then, yeah, that would make a bit of a difference.
Anyways,
home network going on.
So I got the StarTech, plugged it in. It worked instantaneously. I disabled my one that was blue screening, and I haven't got a blue screen yet. So nice. I'm going to give it a couple weeks,
awesome.
See if I'm getting blue screens. But if not, my only downside is I've heard the USB stuff, if you're dealing with sleep and unsleep and stuff like that, sometimes the USB doesn't kick back up, and then you have problems.
But you don't anyway, though, do you?
I sleep my computer at night, yeah.
You should check your power options in the Windows settings.
Okay.
I think by default, like, USB is set to go off. Especially if you have like a laptop, then there's a whole lot of power options there.
Gotcha.
But if it's on a desktop, it may not be as much.
Okay, well, I just started this week, so I'll give you an update on it. But that's kind of what's going on with me hardware-wise. But I'm excited, hopefully, to get these blue screens gone, because...
It's funny if it's such a small thing, too.
I know, it's pissing me off. Every time you see a blue screen, I just picture my computer dying a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I'm figuring.
And your soul.
I'm picturing my like hardware taking permanent damage. So I'm just trying to solve this. Anyways.
All right, we ready for some listener questions?
Let's do it.
All right, first one's coming from BMAC8. Hey, DL Gaming crew, I'm pretty new to PC gaming and picked up CrossCode and FTL at your recommendation, and I've been loving both of them. So thank
nice.
You. My question is, what is the one part of your PC that you regret? For example, my Corsair CX650M power supply is the loudest thing in my build. Thanks, and keep up the great work. That's a good question. Are there any parts in your computer that you regret?
It's not a regret. I purposely bought this mini micro ATX. I forget. I bought this small rig to sit on my desk, and I knew I was going to have some issues getting this small build. But I didn't really think that I was going to get as many
this
issues.
Many. Right.
And it's mostly my fault because I didn't just tear the whole thing down and start over from scratch.
Oh, you try to move big stuff.
I did. I did it piecemeal, and that was not the way to go. If you do a new rig, you should just start from scratch. Just get a new Windows fucking install and just start over. And that's my biggest regret.
True. Oh, probably the part that doesn't work right now, right?
Well, no. My biggest regret is only 8 gigs of RAM.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so since needing to upgrade, I've only been experiencing PC issues because most likely I have defective RAM.
Yeah. Which I've never even heard of.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, so
it happens.
You have. I just pulled it out to test it. It's funny. They're posting pictures in chat. They're trying to find good sideburn pictures. Trust me, I got some.
And Bobby's fixing computers.
Yeah,
and all
I'm fixing
photos.
Computers on
and
my stove.
And it's my little one.
Yeah,
it's my
it's
little
Chad's
fucking
micro ATX. It's on my stove, and people always like laugh about that. Yeah, on my coil stove. And Chi's computer is sitting right next to that stove. I have a very small place, so that is my workbench / stove / cooking area / you know, whatever the hell else.
Multi-purpose surface.
Yeah. But your RAM, Chi, I noticed as I pulled it out, it's this RAM that they made a while ago. It was like the style that they made, the heat spreaders on it, like the metal they put on the sides to keep it cool.
Okay.
It has a, it looks like a little sniper rifle. It's got little iron sights on it. It was like
That's
a
cool.
sniper RAM that they made. And it was, yeah, it was a nice little touch they made. And I haven't seen those in person ever.
Oh, but, really?
Yeah.
Well, no good to me if it's dead.
That's true.
Yeah,
but
seriously.
I mean, what does 16 gigs of RAM cost?
Not much. Like, well, I don't know. DDR4 is
80 bucks,
expensive.
Maybe something
DDR3
like that.
DDR3 you can get for like nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got two.
50 bucks.
I think I got 8 gigs for 50 bucks.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. 100 bucks for 16.
I remember
16.
Spending $600 on 2 gigs.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're old, though. We remember lots of shit. Yeah.
So I called Gateway Computers because I fell in love with EverQuest and Tribes. And I called Gateway. And at the time, they didn't make gaming rigs.
Is Gateway even around anymore?
I don't think so. I haven't seen that
because they were big
in a while.
They were big back
in the day. When I think about
they probably got bought out by somebody.
In certain ways, probably Dell. Yeah. In certain ways, they were ahead of the game. I mean, they were Dell before Dell. But anyway, and I'm online. I'm on the phone with like one of their sales reps, and I was like, "I need a gaming computer." He's like, "Well, no worries. We got you covered. We'll take care of it right now." I paid something. Oh my gosh, almost like $3,000.
Yeah,
for like.
Back when $3,000 was $3,000,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Jeez.
All right. So that's me and Chi. Emilio?
Oh.
Biggest regret?
Well, it's not really. Is it a regret? Yeah, I guess. Instead of going mechanical and like going fancy with my keyboard, I got a shitty fucking whatever keyboard. It's like Logitech bass line.
Which sparkles.
Doesn't sparkle.
I don't like Logitech for gaming keyboards at all. They're good for a media center, but outside of that, I really don't like Logitech. And I have a Logitech mouse. I got to do something about that.
My shift key gets stuck, which is why the first two letters of all my capitalizations are capitalized.
Yeah,
and
I go with that.
You know, there's some issues, and why maybe I run a little bit too long into a fight in PUBG, but you know,
I'm sure that's why. Bobby, biggest regret?
Probably my hard drive. I've got an Intel 750, and I bought it right when it came out. And just a classic case of buying something right when it comes out. I paid like $1,100 for it, and now you can get a Samsung 960, which is an M.2 drive, and that is not like insanely faster, but it is definitely faster, and they go for like $580.
Speaking of which, I actually brought a 6 terabyte hard drive. Do you mind installing that while we figure out?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's so huge. Right. I don't know where to put it.
That's what she said.
Yeah, exactly. That's what she said. I don't know what to do with it.
But an old school hard drive.
Yeah, the
drive,
Intel
right?
750. Like yeah, M.2 drives.
I have an SSD already.
Chat
yeah.
There. But yeah, the Intel 750, I think, was like one of the first drives that had that NVMe technology. And that was just like, holy shit, these are so fast. And I was like, oh, I got to get one of those.
Bobby, the one you just said for $500, how much does that hold?
$580, and that is a 1 terabyte drive.
But
mine
it's an M2,
1.2.
Right?
Yeah, that is an M.2, which you got to make sure your motherboard supports it, which it probably
does. But that one's even faster than the SSDs, right? This is like, this will straight up your butthole, like fucking straight
way,
to your
way
brain.
Faster than, okay, than that, because it has NVMe. The one that I have, the Intel 750, connects to a PCI Express port. So it uses up, I couldn't run SLI because I'm using up one of those ports.
Oh,
for my,
by the way, on that, I got this USB one because I was going to get a regular fucking new Ethernet adapter and just fucking do it. Yeah, I don't have any fucking ports. The one port on my micro ATX is the one that my fucking graphics card's sitting on. So I literally only had a USB option.
Good job going with that micro.
No, that was still the right choice, though, motherfucker.
I mean, is there like any resale value in that where you could just get rid of it and start over?
Why would somebody want that pile, that tiny pile of shit?
It was still the right choice. When I look at it, I think, oh, that's cute. And look how much power is behind.
Meanwhile, We All Get Hard, Chad posted his picture of his rig, and somebody asked him why he had a microwave on his desk.
And I was offended just because microwaves are much bigger than what I've got on my fucking thing.
That's very true. It's not even as big as a toaster oven.
All right, let's move this thing on. This is going long.
Yeah.
All right, next question coming from Jiffy. Favorite game to watch someone else play?
Left 4 Dead 2.
No. Street Fighter 2.
Any MOBA. I love watching MOBAs. I hate playing MOBAs. Mm. I don't hate playing MOBAs. I'm just really not good
at
MOBAs.
Obviously, it's fucking Heroes of the Storm, Bobby.
Well, yeah. It's a boring answer, but like, if it's not a weekend, I love that. Every weekend, like, I come home and there's a competitive Heroes of the Storm on. Like, I love that so much. But even, like, during the normal day, like, today I grabbed the burrito, I went home, you know, and I'm going to eat.
It's like watching a sport.
Yeah,
it's so awesome.
Well, I didn't even turn on, there was no competitive to watch, but I watched someone stream HOTS. Like, that's like my TV now. That's like my Netflix, you know. But
it is literally a sport. You got 45 minutes. They both start equally. They try to fucking do their shit to get better. And somebody wins at the end. And then 45 minutes later, you can just watch another one. It's awesome. MOBAs are awesome to watch. Awesome.
Yeah. I can't think of any other game that I really like watching people
play. I like watching people play PUBG.
Yeah, first-person shooters are cool. If the guy that you're watching or gal, if they're entertaining and they're joking and they're having fun, I love watching those. Like a PUBG or an Overwatch or whatever, or a Counter-Strike, and they're enjoyable. But I'm not watching it for the gameplay. I'm watching it for them. But like I watch
watching
a MOBA
it for the gameplay because it like you'll pick up on things every time I play PUBG. I learn something new that's gonna make me better. Especially by doing something horribly wrong. And then also, you know, I see other people go do different things, and that's why I like watching people play shooters. It teaches me how to play better.
For sure.
When it comes to MOBAs, it feels like studying, unfortunately. So I just don't watch people play MOBAs usually.
Yeah, I don't watch to get better. I just watch because it's enjoyable.
Oh, because
you know, it's like watching basketball or football or whatever. It's just watching people better than me do a sport.
For me, I guess I would like try to process everything that was happening.
Fair enough.
So that's probably why it's not as enjoyable.
Did you guys see that famous streamer that was talking shit about PUBG? Did you
no.
see guys about the third person perspective?
No.
He's like really it came up on my like
who
two
was
of
it?
My
like
things.
Lyric?
I wish I maybe that I think that might be
everybody's shitting on PUBG.
But anyway, he's like
bad,
third person like, so bullshit. He's like, look at this. And he was behind a rock. He's like, I can look in any direction. I'm completely safe 100%. I'm gonna kill this dude right and then he gets headshot right when he's talking shit. And he was like he's like, this is still bullshit, and he like throws something at the screen. It was awesome.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's not. It's really good. It's a really good game.
Yep.
All right.
And I don't even
it's
like
so
those
It's so funny
games.
How streamers like are such, like, entertainers, though, but people, like, feed into that. So, like, when the streamer gets, like, upset or, like, visibly upset, like, they don't, I don't know, people are just like, oh, this is great, this guy's getting upset, or, like, you know, he's getting frustrated. It's just like, dude, he's just, you know, he's doing it for attention, man. It's like, he's a streamer. He's being entertaining. I don't know.
Unless it's genuine. You know, that was just one of those things
there's a blurred line between what's real and what's not with streamers. It's like the radio person. It's like when we get on the podcast, we're like, hey, blah, 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 you know?
We're almost forced to talk more, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You, like, adopt this personality, this persona. It's usually, like, a slightly exaggerated version of yourself.
My brothers will say they don't like to watch my stream because they don't like the streamer version of me.
Yeah.
And it is especially different from the usual me, because when I play...
Because that's angry chi.
Yeah. No, when I play games off stream, I am so tryhard and focused. I'm boring as fuck. I'm probably drooling down myself because I'm just like really into the game. But when I'm streaming, it's like I remember to keep my personality on, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a famous hot streamer who left for a while and then he came back. And he was like notorious for being very salty and getting upset about a lot of things. And so when he left, he was kind of frustrated with the game. And I don't know. People are just like, they feed into it so much. But it's Twitch chat, man. It's like the comment section in YouTube. It's like a toilet. Anyway, back to listener questions. Warconius, this dude's always got the listener questions.
Yeah, he does. Thank you, dude.
South Park, Stick of Truth is amazing. Just finishing up the game, and I can't believe how creative they were with taking elements of the show and creating a game out of it. Everything from the anal alien probe abilities to fart magic. Has there been any other game that has taken an existing IP and created an original game around it? Batman Arkham Asylum is one other standout.
That's all of our answers all the time. Is Batman.
I have never played it, but the Chronicles of Riddick was supposed to be... an amazing game based on...
I feel like I've heard that.
I thought that game was great. I'm sorry, the movie.
No. I heard the game was 10 times better than the movie.
Yeah. Hmm. Was that the first movie that dude did?
No. It was based off of Perfect Dark or something like that.
No. Chronicles of Riddick was the sequel. The first one was...
Pitch Black.
I enjoyed the movie Pitch Black a lot.
That's because Vin Diesel's
like,
hot.
It's like we'll put him on the map, right?
Really?
Because, you know,
I want to say so.
He wanted to be a director.
I said gay is not hot.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, he wanted to be a director. And then when he got on that, like, they told the director, like, hey, you know, watch out for this dude. He's probably going to try to, like, backseat direct you or, you know, he's trouble on the set. And then so the dude made it very clear when he was on there, like, look, you're an actor. You got to do what I say, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I didn't know that. He wanted to be a director.
Who's this? Interesting.
Vin Diesel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't think he's not hot because he's gay. I had no idea he was
gay.
He's just not my type. Yeah, Vin Diesel's gay.
What?
Is that a rumor?
I think it's a rumor.
Yeah, I'm spreading rumors, guys.
Michelle Rodriguez is gay, unfortunately. But
wait, who?
Letty, I think, is her name in the Fast and Furious City. You know, the chick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Anyway.
Anyway. Jeez.
So I definitely agree with down what a rabbit hole there. Is saying about South Park Stick of Truth. That is one game that takes an existing IP and just creates this fantastic game about it. That seems like they didn't sacrifice. You know, there's always a disconnect between like a show and a game, especially like when the like old Nintendo games. Like you can totally tell they just took the likeness of something and made some shitty game version out of it just to capitalize on the name. And South Park is so far from that. They did an amazing job with that game. Can't wait for the sequel. Batman, I'd agree with that too, but I can't really think of any other examples.
I think most of the times they are trying to get the game to coincide with some other launch, and then the game sucks because the pressure of the time. Well, it takes longer to develop a game than it does a movie or anything.
South Park got pushed back so much. Like I remember,
so you need ones like that.
And Matt Stone and Trey Parker kept talking about how difficult of a process it was making that game, and it kept getting pushed back so many times.
It happens.
I'd have to say Alien vs. Predator, the original one, not the 2012 one. There was a 2004 one, I want to say. They just did a really good job of the Marines had their special abilities, and they really held true to the movies. Same with the Predators, and same with the Aliens. They all had their really good strengths and really good weaknesses, and it all made sense, and they all came together for these amazing fights back then.
Hmm. You know, for my answer, I can't really think of any, and I know it doesn't really count, but I really like the Jurassic Park Jeep arcade game.
Oh, wow.
I know which one you're talking about.
I appreciate that.
Hell the fuck yes, right?
Yeah, like, that's a good one.
Like you jump in there.
That's one of the best arcade games.
It's one of the best arcade games.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was very immersive. You're like, ah!
But it was kind of a ripoff of, what was the original? It was like Tango and Lucky or something. I want to say like Tango and Cash. But you're like two bank robbers in a car and like shoot. It's a shootout.
I was going to say Crazy Drivers or Crazy Taxi.
Oh, yeah, fuck. What was that game called? Holy
dude,
shit.
It was like one dude had like the wild blonde hair.
Yeah.
And
he's
like, yeah.
Like, he's making that face.
Holy shit.
I
just took
it back. I know what you're talking about. I got to look it up. I was looking at this not too long ago.
It's funny. I can't think of a really good answer that hasn't already been mentioned here. Like Batman is like the essential to me. Yeah. Like that is like when I play a Batman Arkham game, I feel like I'm Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. Batman is so good for video games. Like he's got everything you need.
Did it right then? Like Lego, like Lego Batman, Lego Harry Potter. Do you think they did it right? In sense
those are, well, I mean, they're,
well, they're more Lego than they are.
Yeah.
It's like a condensed version of the story. Yeah.
Oh, that Spider-Man game that I covered like 6 weeks ago, I thought that did a really good job.
That was the alternate dimensions or whatever one?
Yeah, Shattered Dimensions.
Spider-Man's another one of those games that Lucky and Wild.
It is Lucky and Wild.
Is this it?
Yeah, yes. This is it. Yeah. You can see them in the rear view mirror.
You can see them in the rear view mirror as you're driving.
So one person was driving with a gun and then the passenger had a gun too.
This fucking game.
Never seen this before in my life.
You're Mexican. Man. You couldn't afford the arcade.
He hung out in arcades. He's told the Street Fighter stories.
Yeah,
you never saw this game. Like, I'll look up a picture of it. Lucky and Wild. Oh, dude,
this is going to be the longest podcast of all time. I think.
Nah, we're doing good.
Okay, he's on vacation. He can do 2.5 hour podcasts. Yeah. He doesn't give a shit.
All right. So, final question coming from Stacks.
Oh wait, why aren't we name dropping Star Wars?
Star Wars.
That that's a good one. Yeah, like that is a good one.
Well, I've always said Star Wars is the perfect IP for video.
It is. Good call. Good call, Chi.
Yeah.
What's better? Coder, Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Or X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Or Bobby's
or
whatever.
Which one's Bobby? What's yours?
There's got to be Dark Forces 2.
Jedi Academy.
Keep going. What is the subtext?
Jedi Academy.
It's Jedi Knight.
Jedi Knight.
There's Jedi Outcasters, and then there's Jedi Academy.
Oh. My choice, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, is the best Star Wars game.
I tried to play some TIE Fighter a couple days ago, and man, that game is it's tough.
Doesn't hold up?
Well, no. It was made in like 91.
I know. If somebody could reboot that, I would fucking suck your dick if you could fucking reboot that.
Just very quickly, it might have been, Chad. So on Origin Access...
You're saying I need to suck a dick?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying?
On Origin Access, they just added all the DLCs to Star Wars...
Battlefront.
So you get the... You get the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter or whatever that it's
you
called.
You don't. This is fucking...
You don't know this. You don't know how well that was received. Do you?
No, but this
anyway,
is a multiplayer game.
Anyway, there's three DLCs, and now you can play them for free if you have access, which we both paid for the year. I think we should check it out.
We should. Okay. Oh, and we will.
We will. Tonight.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Tell you what, I got no job, so I can
that's true.
Fucking do it whenever I want.
Bobby, you in?
Wait, what's going on?
Origin Access now has... All Battlefront, all their DLCs is included now. Before it was just Battlefront, which I said it sucks. I can't make this game work to be fun.
So you get Origin Access, you get all the DLC.
All the DLC.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
How much is Origin Access?
$34 for the year.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah. And
do you
get
keep it if you cancel Origin Access?
No.
Why would you cancel?
You get it for the year.
Yeah.
I'm not a big subscription guy.
No, you pay one at one time. You pay $34.
You get it for the year, though.
Every year, though.
Oh, but my God. Okay. Dude, you only have like three of those left.
Somebody brought up like, hey, Chad, who do you work for? So now that I'm no longer, I know that now
it was Moogle Mike. Moogle Mike said that he had thumbtacks and yarn going across his trying to, and I was like, because I knew, like Bill knew, because I think because I knew, I thought, oh man, this is obvious.
Obvious.
I was trying to hide it, but it's obvious.
We actually had to bleep it out. When Lab Monkey
and Austin
were here because
Mr. Arma.
Because somebody brought it up, we actually had to cut part of that.
I'm not sure why it was such a big secret.
Well, because I could have gotten fired.
There's conflict of interest.
Yeah, because
he's promoting a different.
Anyways, anyway. I used to work for Sony. I worked for the PlayStation group. I am now. So obviously I quit my job because I'm moving in with
it's
my
like
girl.
The podcast worst kept secret. Apparently.
Yeah, yes, apparently.
And Moogle Mike's a
hilarious guy, by the way. Oh, that guy's fucking funny as shit.
I would rather lose and play with Moogle than win and play with other people.
Yeah.
Like, he's such, so like, funny.
A gamer crush on this guy.
It's
a real thing, by the way.
Russian accent.
Like, when you find somebody,
Bobby, have you talked to this guy? You might hate him
in person. But the fact that you get along so well in the gamer world, it's like somebody doing their worst impression
of a Russian.
Yeah.
It's true.
I didn't think he was serious at first.
Yeah. You think that he's faking it?
Yeah, I thought he was faking
it. It's like,
maybe he is, dude. Maybe this guy's trying to con you.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's the long fucking con. He's trolling for fucking life.
You know why I know that it's true? Because if he gets within 10 feet of somebody in PUBG that's not one of us, he switches to Russian, and you cannot control this guy. It's just headlong, rage face. Just, oh, you motherfucker. And then this happens.
He does the public chat, the voice.
Yeah, he talks shit the whole time.
Come out of the corner. I fucked your mother.
Let me tell you.
Fucking horrible.
I'm going to sum up Moogle Mike right now. He lands at the same time on a rooftop with somebody else. Now, we can hear what he's saying because he's like, what you going to do, motherfucker? You going to go for that gun? Huh? I'm going to punch you in the face. Oh, now you're on the floor, huh? Now I get the gun. He goes, and no shit.
You still sound very Spanish, by the way.
He loads the gun and he goes.
With that accent.
Yeah, he does.
He goes, das vidanya. Like, meant it. Not, there was no comedy.
Yeah.
Das vidanya. And I hear out of not just the local chat, but I hear it in the game chat.
I wonder if he is just like moderately funny, if he had just a plain accent. But the fact that
he wouldn't be funny at all.
No, it's that too.
Yeah. It's all the accent.
It's the other thing of him not understanding little things. So I said, I picked that floor clean. And he was, because somebody asked me if.
No, he said, has this building been picked?
No.
Yeah, that's what you said. Has this building been picked?
Okay, sure.
And he's like,
is this picked?
Picked. What do you mean picked? Has this been picked for what? And we're like, no. Has it been picked? America. Has it been picked clean? Has it been fucking picked?
That comes up every once
Russian
in a while.
Girl, no, anyway. Better than Miss America. Yeah. No, Miss Universe. Yeah.
Okay.
We still have one more.
One more question. Stacks. What is your most memorable or favorite plot twist in a game? I'm going to start this off, and I'm going to say the first one that comes to mind is BioShock.
BioShock.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, come on.
Yeah. It's
all of
obvious.
You guys BioShock?
Did you finish BioShock?
I know, but then I would say.
No. I got 90% done, and then I watched the last 10 minutes.
My plot twist for a more recent game is Soma.
Ooh.
Don't spoil it.
Oh, don't spoil it. But yes, Soma, take the cake on that one for me.
So Ori and the Blind Forest has a twist. I haven't played that.
I mean,
game.
I Bill
the Heel
so.
Will not let up about Ori.
He can just keep bringing it up.
Forest, and I'm sure it's a wonderful game.
It is an awesome
recently,
game.
Recently, I would say
it.
Maybe Life is Strange. What was the other one? Gone Home. I would say Gone Home.
Yeah, that had a good
the
one.
Lesbian
yeah.
twist, please.
Not just that, but also.
I mean, that was
no,
before lesbians were
that
out.
Girl
no
would
monsters.
That girl would let a bushel of bananas go pure brown on her shelf before putting it in her mouth. She was so blatantly lesbian.
I don't know anything.
So you knew it was lesbian before it was lesbian?
Yeah, lesbian before even.
Your
lesbian.
Last 40 words, I don't know what any of that meant.
Your lesbian radar was going off.
Bushel of bananas brown? Yeah. I don't know what you're
before
talking about.
Before she would have put a banana in her mouth. Like, she would never put a banana in her mouth.
Okay.
Banana, i.e. a dick.
Okay.
And the bananas, they sit on the shelf for so long, they go brown.
Let's move on.
That's how lesbian.
All right.
I'm not even sure what that meant.
I don't even know.
Explain it I'm drunk, right.
I'm
going to
throw out a good twist here. Spec Ops The Line.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't play that game.
You didn't play Spec Ops? You should play Spec Ops.
So. Really good.
Yeah. It's really good.
The story is really good.
And it's right up your alley. It's a first-person shooter.
Again.
It's good.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's really good.
Really, really good story. But just like The Last of Us, the gameplay is just like, you know.
No, the gameplay is good.
All right.
It's not. In Spec Ops The Line, the gameplay isn't holding you up.
No, it's
the fun. Gameplay and the story complement each other.
Let's move on.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, yeah, let's wrap this up. So news, we got a few quick things here. There was a big update to the Twitch mobile app, which I use all the time. Pretty much every night before I go to bed, I'm watching Twitch on my phone. And they've added a few new things in here. Number one, dark mode. If you shake your phone, then it goes into dark mode, which I guess is kind of cool. It's, you know, dark
mode. I use dark mode on everything.
What's Mark?
Yeah, it's better for going to bed, right?
Wait, what's dark mode?
It looks better at night. See, if you look at my Discord right here, I have it in dark mode. It looks darker.
Less whites on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's less bright.
Font white, background dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can also stream directly from your phone now, apparently, which is kind of cool.
I wish I could.
So you can stream mobile games?
Yeah.
Specifically?
So, or you could stream, I see a lot of people streaming real life versus
IRL
games. Yeah. IRL. Okay. Like IRL is bigger on Twitch now than ever.
I just jumped on IRL recently. Mm-hmm. There was one channel with a girl just trying on clothes. I was like, this is weird. Literally chatterbait.
I guess we could stream IRL, but this is more so gaming talk shows tagged if we stream from our phone here.
Okay, so. Fair enough.
Gee, I wish we could put this podcast in dark mode and get rid of all the whites.
Nice,
that's you and me, Bobby, by the way.
We don't have a chance.
No. All right, what else we got on news?
Well, a few more updates on this. They have something called Pulse now, which is some like update system they're doing. It's taken a little time to get used to, but they have swipe navigation, which I really like. So if I'm watching someone, I do this a lot.
They married Tinder and fucking Twitch, is what you're saying?
No, you swipe to the next person in line. So it's like I'm watching somebody play a game. They finish their game. Now they're in queue. It's like, okay, I just swipe
over. Flipping channels.
Yeah, exactly. It's like flipping channels. So I really like that. That's my favorite feature of this.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, and then just some UI stuff. So that's cool. I think ever since Amazon bought Twitch, they've just been making so many improvements to it.
You know what? And this is crazy. My ritual when it comes to recording our podcast, I park my car, I walk into the 7-Eleven, I buy my large coffee, and then I walk over to Bobby's door and I buzz in. Right. Today,
8 times because he's not watching his phone.
Yeah. Exactly. But today, as I was like putting my wallet back in my purse, the gentleman behind me, he walks up to the cash register, and then the cashier goes, "Hey man, what are you doing tonight?" And he goes, "Nothing. Just gonna grab this and then go home and watch Twitch." And I look at him, and unfortunately, it's this like over 50-year-old guy or older guy.
You're in the room.
Almost there.
In the room.
Guys, no. He was like...
Bill the Hill.
I didn't know. Like, it was so suspicious that he's just so casually dropped, "I'm going to go home and watch Twitch."
Yeah.
I was like, does this guy recognize me? Doubtfully. Is he trying to like call me out to make sure that I'm like...
Wait.
Or something?
He mentioned Twitch and you immediately thought of yourself.
Huh?
He mentioned Twitch and you immediately thought of yourself.
No, he could have been stalker status. Like, that is so weird that people just drop, "I'm going to go home and watch Twitch."
Thing now.
At the gas station. This is a gas station conversation, for crying out loud.
That's cool, though.
Weirdo. She said a 50-year-old.
He was just older.
I think you might be around 50.
Well, she was implying 50-year-olds.
But no, I'm not judging a book by its cover, but I didn't want to call him out and say, "Oh, you watch Twitch?" I didn't want to start a conversation.
You handed him your card?
Because I didn't want him, like, it was like stranger danger. I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want
Fair
to do
enough.
It.
Yeah. Fair enough. That's cool, though. Like, I'm glad that nerd culture has kind of gotten more and more acceptable.
Mainstream.
15 years ago, it would have been like, "I'm going to go watch Survivor." But now you can say, "I'm going to go watch Twitch."
And nobody says, "What the fuck's Twitch?"
Yeah.
Like, people are like,
people
okay.
Do. A lot people of people do all the time.
Yeah.
He's a cashier. He's just going to shake his head and
move
on to the next bartender and I still can't.
He would have shaken his head.
Half of the things that I do.
So. If the dude was like, "Yeah, I'm going to go kill a hobo and jerk off on his corpse," he would have given the same head nod. Yep. Sure. Yep.
Probably.
Okay.
All right. Also in the news, 40,000 Steam bans.
After the Steam sale.
What happened?
I think during the Steam sale, they implemented some new stuff into the VAC, and all at once, they just wiped out their one day record before this was 15,000. So they really upped it this year to 40,000 people were banned. And apparently it's even harder to start up a new account and like try to get your shit back. Like everything you ever bought is just gone, basically.
Good. Yeah. Well, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
If you're fucking hacking in any way, just fuck you and just get the fuck off my planet. Seriously. Yeah. Like,
so wait a second. So this is post Steam sale. The day after Steam sale, they upped.
Somebody bought $80 and then it's fucking gone.
They upgraded the VacMan.
Probably
detector.
Somewhere, during that whole thing, under the radar, they upped the VAC, right? Because everybody's just buying shit. And then they were able to detect all the new shit. 40,000 people gone. Anyway, it's a good thing.
Thank God.
Yep.
Fuck you. If you hack, fuck you. You're stealing my happiness, and fuck you, and die in a fire.
Yeah.
I don't have strong words.
Speaking of Steam, PUBG briefly passed CSGO as the in concurrent. I spelled that all wrong. Concurrent players. It was just for a little while, like a few hours, but it did happen, and PUBG is on the way up. I wouldn't say that CSGO is on the way down, but I would say it's stagnant.
Is it time for a new CS game?
Yeah, and it's called PUBG.
No, I mean like...
Oh, yeah. So this summer...
When did CSGO come out?
About three years ago? 4 years ago?
Talk to the expert over here. No, when did
CSGO came out probably 2001, 2002.
What?
No.
CS Counter-Strike original. Sorry.
Swing and a miss.
I have to listen a little harder, I guess.
All right, 2012. Yeah, okay. So it's definitely time.
Five years ago.
It's definitely time.
It doesn't need a new iteration because they're going from Source 1 to Source 2 this summer.
But shouldn't that be a new iteration?
I mean, they might name it something else, I guess. Yeah, but I think it's going to be called CSGO still.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so I think that about wraps it up. You can check us out at dlgaming.net. That is our website. You can get to everything from there. You can get to our Discord, our Twitter. You can buy T-shirts there to support us. Also, dlgamer.us. There's a link there to support us. Everything's at dlgaming.net.
Leet Milf mentioned she recommended us to two listeners that joined Discord. We will appreciate it.
And they're also streamers.
We'll appreciate it if you recommend us to anybody. We don't advertise. So, guys, if you like our show, please let your buddy know that you're gaming with. We love hearing that.
And you name drop streamers. Previously, before, I said I was going to work on building a streamer network for DLG. Once my computer is back up and running, I will continue to focus on that. I already have a couple heads interested in it. And eventually we're going to become a vodcast. A vodcast.
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 Moogle Mike would say vodcast.
Moogle Mike. Vodcast.
Should I tell you?
Vodka. No, in Russia, we call it vodka-cast.
Vodka-cast.
Yes. Okay.
Cool.
So, what's everyone going to be playing next week?
I'm going to finish Rabby Ribby. I'm halfway through. And Secret World and Thimbleweed Park, I played this week, but we had a full podcast, so I'll talk about both of those next week and play those more. Chi?
For me, I have guests coming into town this week, so all of my free time will be swallowed by beach time.
Phrasing.
And, what?
What?
Swallowed like a brown banana.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Bobby?
I'm kidding.
I'm going to be playing, of course, some Heroes of the Storm. Going to try to stick only to ranked games, but I've been getting back into Doom. Been having a lot of fun with that game.
2016.
You can't just get back, like, you just finish. It's not that long of a game. Like, it's not like you're getting back into paintball or something like that. Like, you just play it and you're done with it. It's a 7-hour game. How much did you play versus how much?
I must
you
be about halfway through then. Yeah, I haven't played that much. I do my games in increments. I play 2 hours at a time, then I come back 6 months
later. Whatever fits in between HOTS games.
Yeah. I did start playing Dark Souls, Dark Souls 1. A friend of mine who is really into Dark Souls, played them all, a guy I play HOTS with, and then when the Dark Souls 3 came out, he like disappeared for 2 weeks, and he came back. I'm like, where the fuck are you? He's like, oh, Dark Souls 3. But he has been walking me through Dark Souls 1, and we're almost at the point where we can start playing together. He is on his honeymoon right now. He put putting Marriage Before Gaming very
rude. First of all, rude.
But when he gets back, I'm hopefully going to pick up Dark Souls 1. I need to look into mods, though, because I think the resolution is making that game look awful. I am playing it with the controller, too. I had to concede that.
DS Fix is what Bill the Heel is saying.
Yeah, DS Fix. I've heard of that.
You
I
have to
get
play
that.
It with a controller too, Bobby. There's no way.
Dark Souls 3, I got really good at with the keyboard and mouse. I got better at that than the controller. But I'm just, from the get-go, I'm just going to start with the controller on Dark Souls 1.
Is no one ever going to play Stormblood in this group?
I am.
Stormblood?
Oh, what? When?
I still have a membership. I'm still paying
Remind
$14.
Remind me what
bucks
that is. 15.
It's Final Fantasy 14 expansion.
Nobody cares.
I will get into that at some point.
Yeah.
Although Fastidious...
Oh, you know what I could do
I promised
do this
Fastidious
week?
I'd do Tomb of Sargeras
Maybe
with him.
Maybe this week I could do
I will do it,
Spotlight.
Fastidious.
If I can't
I
play
swear.
Games, I should do that.
Yeah.
I'm so busy at work, I don't know. Like, I literally, the only time I played...
No, you are your own boss. You can schedule in game time. You can actually book it in, and then when people say, hey, I need you that this time, you say, no, I'm sorry, I'm booked.
But
and you're booked for yourself. That's how you can do it.
Would you rather make
no
money or play?
That's an excuse.
That's
I would
no,
rather play.
Yes, it is. And it's an excuse, because... If somebody called you up at 2 a.m. and said, I need you to do this, you say, sorry, buddy, I'm
it's
sleeping.
It's a lot of money,
I need
though.
To get 8 hours of sleep.
It's a lot of money.
You just got to book in your hours.
It's a lot of money, though.
Okay, what's more important, this podcast or your fucking...
It's $85
a I don't care. You gotta make time. That's just how
it's
you do
tough.
It. I understand, but you got to do it.
So
you still have maybe an hour's played for gaming, so...
Yeah, it's today
true.
I took
You're doing us proud.
Almost all
Emilio.
Today off.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
No, trust me, every single time I try to play video games, I get in a fight with my boyfriend. It's like a fucking vicious console flip cycle. Can we end this?
So,
Bobby. You got to work on that.
Are we done?
Yeah, I think so.
Speaking for Bobby, Chi, Chad, and myself, Metroidvania titties for everyone.
Vania? Vainy titties?
No, you don't want Vinny titties.